This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers baseball is live to the coastal plains. And from state line to state line, this is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show. Getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Home sweet home. The Woodpeckers are back in downtown Fayetteville for their only six-game homestand of May as they get ready to host the visiting Carolina Mudcats, the Low A East affiliate, rather the Carolina League affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers in town. Game one of this six-game set. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. Delighted to have you aboard live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Two ways you can find us tonight, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com for online radio, also by downloading the MILB First Pitch app, and you can also find our broadcast via beautiful HD video quality on MILB.tv. Subscribe now, use the promo code Woodpeckers at checkout, and receive $10 off your annual membership. Well, Colin, the Woodpeckers on the road in Charleston last week. They played one of the toughest teams in the Carolina League, a team that had the best record in the minor leagues a year ago, again has a dominant bullpen this year and a lot of pitching talent that was able to take 5-6 over Fayetteville, but a Tuesday night ball game was scoreless into the ninth. They managed to squeak out a one-run win on Wednesday. Played a couple of close ball games over the weekend as well, and now this matchup with the Carolina Mudcats could very well be one that comes down to who can throw the most strikes, and the pitching staffs, which have been the strong point for Fayetteville recently, could dictate this one as well.
Yeah, it certainly whoever can throw the most strikes is the difference maker in this one. I mean, these are two teams that walk the most batters, not just in the Carolina League, but all of minor league baseball, with Fayetteville coming in the second most walks, and just inside the top five as well, you got Carolina, who's walked a ton of batters as well. So whoever can find the plate, I think, is going to be the difference maker in this one. You know, Alex Santos comes trouble finding the plate earlier in the year, but he started to really get more confidence throwing those first pitch strikes and getting into more favorable counts. So it's going to be a real pitcher's battle here between him and Ryan Moore, who's been one of the best pitchers in the entire Carolina League this season. I think offense is going to be hard to come by, which has been the theme through a lot of Fayetteville games this season, but they play their cards right. It usually has benefited them when they've been able to keep these low-scoring games, especially here at Segra Stadium.
Yeah, on the offensive side for Fayetteville, they were unable to get a run on the River Dogs on Sunday, falling in the series conclusion 6-0, but Quincy Hamilton's having a great May. He's well over 400 batting in the month, and Joey Loperfido comes in tonight, a 300 hitter at 302, a couple of guys in the meat of Joe Thon's order. And speaking of the skipper, Joe Thon, we had the chance to sit down with him pregame, Colin, and talk about the year so far, the morale inside of the clubhouse, touch on a number of guys around the roster, and even discuss some of the recent promotions. Ryan Gusto and Franny Cobos, a couple of right-handed pitchers promoted to Asheville yesterday. We talked to Joe about all of those recent guys, Jaquez Betances, who have made their way up to Asheville and run down the roster, and get Joe's updates on all the guys around the clubhouse, and looking forward to presenting that to you on the other side of this break. So stay tuned. A brief pause, and then we'll come back with the skipper, Joe Thon, to talk the 2022 season thus far. On the other side of that, we'll have starting lineups for you, some of the numbers of our starting pitchers tonight. Ryan Moore for the Carolina Mudcats and Alex Santos for your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. All of that coming up on the other side of this break as the pregame show rolls on here from Segra Stadium.
The world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today.
The fourth Friday, June 3rd, as Star Wars Night makes its return to downtown Fayetteville. Don't miss the Woodpeckers gear up in Stormtrooper jerseys, which you can bid on throughout the game. proceeds benefit Almshouse. The battle will then take to the sky as we light up the night with the Star Wars post-game fireworks show presented by Q98. Calling all Jedis for Star Wars Night, Friday, June 3rd at Sacred Stadium. First pitch at 7:05 p.m. Tickets on sale now at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.
Welcome down to the bottom level of Sagra Stadium. We're at the manager's headquarters. It's the catch-up with the skipper, Joe Thon. I think it's been since opening day, Joe, that we got to catch up and talk a little Woodpeckers baseball with you. So hope morale is good, team morale, personal morale. How's everybody feeling a month into the season so far?
It's been a while, Chad. No, everything's good. The guys have been grinding. They've been, you know, working hard. First month under the belt, so they've been kind of get accustomed to how it is day-to-day life and minor league baseball, and they're kind of adjusting very well.
Talking about the recent stretch over the last back half of April, early May, you guys go on the road to Augusta, split against the Braves affiliate after losing a couple, 4-6 to Salem. Then it was kind of the series split after that. You guys got a little bit of redemption against Kannapolis after a tough opening weekend. You split 3 with them at home, and then the Charleston series, and look, the last year Charleston had the best record in all of minor league baseball. They won the league, and it seems like, again, this year they're going to be a tough series for anybody that matches up with them. But Quincy Hamilton getting hot at the plate again, some of the great pitching that we saw.
Catches, he's got the speed, he's been able to hit for power. Obviously, is that something that you've been really like picking up on as the season's gone, how he's really started to fine-tune every single aspect of his game as we're through the first month of the season?
Yeah, definitely. As soon as we got him last year, we saw all those assets come out about. Now it's just a matter of figuring out a way to pull it all together. Quincy's a hell of a worker. He is really attuned to his game. And like in all facets, like you said, he has very valuable assets, and physically, mentally, so he's been doing really well that way. It's kind of all kind of coming up together, so it's very nice to see.
Joey Loperfido's been a fun guy to watch develop too. When you look at 2021 and how his pro career started, and then now 2022, it's we're seeing that all ACC ball player that the Astros picked in the 7th round this year. I was curious as to how Joey would look this year. I listened to some off-season interviews with him talking about his time in the gym, working in the cage. He said that, quite frankly, over the first 20 games of his pro career last year, he felt embarrassed because he could hardly get on base. He was down in the 160s, I think, average-wise, and this year he's a 300 hitter. So what do you credit some of the turnaround to for Joey's start to this season?
Yeah, Joey's, he put the work in. He's the epitome of a professional. He, his demeanor, the way he goes about things, his preparation, his even keel demeanor. He's a consummate professional. Last year, obviously, it's like his first taste of professional baseball, so it takes some time to adjust, and he's been doing really well. Like, his adjustments during the offseason, spring training, mm-hmm. and just continuing that work, you can notice, he can make a big impact in the game, how strong he is, and he's been, been very, very adamant about preparing himself physically. So mm-hmm. he's on top of it, and it's like you said, we're seeing that player that we drafted
have as many college at bats and playing as many big games as he did, but still kind of struggle right out of the gate to make that adjustment to pro ball. And I think as the game gets younger and younger, we're expecting 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds to instantly have success at pro ball, and for Tyler Whitaker, we have to remind ourselves, again, he's coming out of high school. There is that adjustment period to pro ball. He's facing more velocity than he probably ever did out in Las Vegas. And we've seen him put together competitive at-bats this year. Seems like he's does a good job of fouling off two-strike pitches. He had a little 12-game hit streak going at one point. Now with guys like Whitaker and Cerny struggling a little bit at the plate,
what's your main message to them as they kind of work through slumps? Because, you know, in baseball, a hitter's slump is you feel like you're on an island just trying to get out of it. But what's been the message to those guys to try and find that swing again?
For sure, yeah. We've all been there, having those. You get up to bat and all of a sudden you're 0-2 without just blinking your eyes. Yeah. So it's one of those. It's like mentally hang in there. You know, the strongest thing is your mind. Because when things are going well, it's easier to stay calm and easier to, like, stay the course. But when things are kind of having a rough patch, that's when you have to have your mind really fortified. They're working their butt off. Whitaker is very impressive to me, the way he goes about things. Mm-hmm. Like, he, despite being hit very hard, this is the first month, he's like, he looks like he's hitting 300. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the guy's the same every day, and that's kind of what you want in a young player. The more he plays, the more he'll adjust. You know, it's a first glimpse of pro ball for him. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those that the more he goes about it, the more you kind of see it plugging along to that game. He's a big kid. Like, we kind of forget he's 18, and physically he's kind of imposing. He kind of sneaks in up on you. So it'll be nice to see how he ends up throughout the whole season, just learning as a professional player.
Yeah, as he lets that flow grow out too. I think I need to add a couple inches to his player bio. He's getting even taller with all the big hair. You and John have to be pretty happy with the pitching staff in the early going. Right, opening weekend, guys were still getting the feel for it out on the mound. That was kind of a cold, damp series in Kannapolis. The walks really racked. It's fewer than 5 per game they're averaging right now. You've already had 4 pitchers promoted to High A Asheville: Jose Betances, Jaquez, and now Franny Cobos and Ryan Gusto are on the move to the Taurus. And you got other guys that are starting to really find the field as well. Miley, Calderon, what's been your evaluation of kind of the turnaround the pitching staff has gone through just over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, it's just like the next man up mentality. Like, it's the standard that we kind of want to implement, guys attacking the zone, minimal walks as possible. And these guys have really good stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason to shy away. They need to attack the guys. And they've been doing a really good job that way. We hope that the more turnaround for guys for promotion, the better. We want those guys to get out of here. As much as it hurts on a day-to-day basis, like, we want their career to flourish and develop as a player. And we'll try to take care of the guys that come in newer and put them in the same trajectory. You know, the sooner they become professionals and get out of here at the higher level, the sooner they can contribute to the big club.
Yeah, and another guy, Chappie talked about the 4 guys that were already pushed on to Asheville, but Daylan Miley's guy is still here and has quickly become one of your most effective pitchers, both as a starter and a reliever. He's taken over the team, team leading strikeouts. Has that been something that you've picked up on, the fact that he's been able to really punch out more batters and really get that strikeout pitch working?
Oh yeah, he has electric stuff, and like, he's working very hard. He's kind of a bulldog mentality. He attacks guys, and it's very nice to see. Like, even when I take him out, he's not too happy. And I find it refreshing because, you know, you want guys to go out there and try to stay in there and work. But he's been, you know, he's been doing a hell of a job out there. And, you know, if he keeps doing what he's doing, I hope he, you know, goes up sooner.
We're getting ready for a 6-game series here at home against the Carolina Mudcats, and staying on the pitching for a moment, Joe. It's Alex Santos starting the series tonight, game 1 against Carolina. And I think we pretty much watch Alex from last year and now this year, and the outings that he's put together. The one in Augusta comes to mind where he mowed down the Green Jackets for 4 straight innings. That his stuff, it can play at the higher levels of the app, more innings. It was a tough time for him to get into pro ball during the pandemic, a shutdown season coming out of high school. So really, he's starting to finally build up now at just 20 years old. But what would you say is kind of the big thing for him right now to get from low A up to high A? What are a couple of the factors that dictate when Alex Santos eventually gets to move on? Because we imagine it'll be at some point this year.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, his fastball is electric. He has a very special fastball. He's been working on his off speeds, and I think that off speed will help him get to that level up faster. Physically, you know, like any young body, trying to prepare yourself for the stresses throughout the season, trying to prepare yourself for all the wear and tear that comes into it, because they do a lot. So he's doing really well. I think those secondary pitches, once he polishes those off a little bit more, it'll be like a quick ascension.
Well, we're looking forward to watching him tonight. And, Joe, thanks again so much for taking the time down here pregame with us. And We'll try and make this a little more often than once a month. We'll catch up every couple weeks and touch base with the Skip. But we appreciate you taking the time, and good luck in this week's series against the Mudcats.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Anytime.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value. Finally, a business journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Way to Success.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Welcome back inside the Woodpeckers broadcast booth on this Tuesday night in downtown Fayetteville. We are getting ready for the opener, game one of six between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Carolina League affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers, the Carolina Mudcats. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. It's great to have you on board tonight on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and also MILB.TV. Both managers are meeting with the two-man umpiring crew down on home plate, exchanging those lineup cards. It's first-year skipper Victor Estevez for the Mudcats and first-year skip Joe Thon. We again thank Joe Thon for taking the time pregame to sit down with Colin and myself, talk everything about this 2022 season. And Colin, big takeaway from that conversation is, yes, 9-18, the overall record right now, but you've had a ton of individual successes sprinkled in for the Fayetteville roster this year. And that's leading to still some high morale inside of the clubhouse at the moment, and guys still hoping to get better and better and keep this series competitive against the Mudcats. Really, every series has had competitive games within it this year.
Yeah, it certainly has been. Just kind of instances where the pitching hasn't been there. We saw the Kannapolis series to open the season. Pitching lagged a little behind the hitting and vice versa. That'll happen. You know, you'll go through your rough stretches. It's only 1 month into the season. We still got a long ways to go and a lot of ground to make up so far for Fayetteville, but again, a nice little series at home can really do wonders, especially when you're going to be going on the road for a dozen games following this. A good opportunity to see a lot this year. This is the first of 24 games between the Woodpeckers and the Mudcats. Got to be able to make a statement here against an interstate rival, and a good opportunity here with your guy on the mound in Santos going against their best guy in Ryan Moore.
Yeah, Alex Santos getting ready to head to the mound. 0-2 record, 4.76 ERA, making his fifth start of the season and his sixth overall appearance. Rest of the starting lineup card tonight for Fayetteville. Let's go ahead and bring you that. It'll be Tyler Whitaker out in right leading off. Logan Cerny is in center. He'll bat second, and Leo's Danny Molina is third, playing over at short. Quincy Hamilton is the left fielder batting cleanup. Miguel Palma, the catcher, hits fifth, and Joey Loperfito, the lefty second baseman, is sixth. Cody Orr hits seventh and plays over at third base, followed by Victor Miskai, the first baseman, hitting eighth, and Kennedy Corona, the DH, rounds it out for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. As for the Carolina Mudcats, it'll be Hedbert Perez leading off for the 14-13 overall Mudcats. Hendry Mendez is the right fielder batting second, and Eduardo Garcia plays short, hits third. Jackson Asherio, he is the center fielder hitting fourth, followed by Jefferson Quiro. Jesus Chirinos is sixth, Jeremy Vargas seven, Oswald Leones, the DH, is eighth, and Zach Rabb is the nine hitter playing over at second base. That's the starting lineups tonight for both sides. We'll go ahead and step aside for a brief break with the singing of the national anthem. First pitch on the other side, right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare hanging in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Let's hear it for Julian Antanasio.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
It's a beautiful night in downtown Fayetteville. Tuesday baseball live on the Woodpeckers broadcast network. Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey excited to bring you all nine innings of this one. The Woodpeckers going to right-hander Alex Santos tonight, the number 10 overall prospect in the Houston Astros system, top five pitching prospect in the system, has an 0-2 record and a 4.76 ERA, 17 innings this year for the 20-year-old from New York. He's given up 10 runs, 9 of those earned to go along with just a couple home runs, 2 walks, and 23 strikeouts. A great clip for Alex this season. And his first time taking on the Carolina Mudcats in the first of 24 meetings between these two sides. The Woodpeckers won't go out to Zebulon for quite some time this year. In fact, all the way until the month of June when they go on the road to Carolina and Five County Stadium for the first time. But squaring off against the team, the Mudcats, who were in the division, the South Division, a year ago. But with the restructuring going from Low A East to the Carolina League and the condensing from three divisions to two divisions, you now have a couple of teams, Colin, who are going to see a lot of each other, very close general races as each other, so it doesn't make a ton of sense, I guess, yeah. But still, it's a competitive rivalry, closest teams to each other in Central North Carolina, and Fayetteville hoping for the upper hand in the season series starting tonight, and they're going to need to try and grab as many wins as they can here at home with the layout of the division right now in the South.
Yeah, I think the craziest thing, too, is Fayetteville doesn't play Columbia at all this season, yeah. And they are in the same division. Yeah. It's a really wacky new format, but hey, first of 24 between these two teams. Pretty even last year, 14-10 in favor of Carolina. We'll see if this will be the season series for Fayetteville that they're trying to get some revenge.
Here's the winding pitch from Alex Santos, and the very first one of the ball game is rolled towards the right side of the diamond. Victor Mizcahi almost slipped, scooping off the dirt. He gathers his bearings and underhand flips to Alex Santos. One pitch, one out to bring up Hendry Mendez, the right fielder and two-hitter, and Colin has the rest of the Fayetteville defensive alignment for you.
Woodpeckers come in third defensively in the Carolina League. Miguel Palma doing the catching for Alex Santos. Victor Mizcahi, who made that play over at first. Joey Loperfido, Leos Downey Molina, and Cody Orr rounding out the infield, going from right to left as Santos starts off. Mendez with a strike. Left to right in the outfield, Quincy Hamilton, Logan Cerny, and Tyler Whitaker.
Alex Santos out of that one, comes down the hill with the 1-0 broken bat liner into short center, and that'll fall for a base hit in front of Logan Cerny. Could hear that crack from up here. Hendry Mendez had that low changeup come off the end of the bat, shattered the lumbar on the handle. But it's a one-out single for the Mudcats, and that'll bring up Eduardo Garcia. Mendez, overall numbers coming into this year, just 211. That's his 16th base hit of the season, 13th single. And now Garcia taking one down to the dirt, blocked by Palma. And the count 1-0. We started about 15 minutes tardy tonight, maybe 25 or so. And That was because we had to wait for the second half of the umpiring crew. Here's the pitch home. And it's down to the dirt again. Runner is on the move to second. Palma blocks it, throws down, and it sails wide of Loperfido into center. Cerny backs up the play. And it'll be 2-0 with a man in scoring position. Mendez swipes second. And Santos will have to work with a runner down on second base. But regarding the umpiring crew, Trey Jester is the crew chief. He works behind the plate today. Steven Craze has been reassigned over to, I believe, the Down East series. There was a concussion with one of the umpires in the league that was supposed to be scheduled to go in Kinston. So on late duty, Benny Pig was called in, and he, on short notice, took a moment to get here to the ballpark, but he's out there on the bases now, so that was the cause for the delay. Beautiful skies above our head. No weather in the area. And the 2-1 is just off the inside. Three balls and a strike to Eduardo Garcia.
Saw Mendez take off there on a ball that didn't get very far away. He's an aggressive base runner, but it hasn't really panned out for him this season. One stolen base in four attempts, so he's been caught three times, a team high, but that time a wide throw allowed him to get up to scoring position with one out.
Loperfido trying to hold the runner close. 3-1 pitch is swung on and missed. A nice slider to the outside from Alex Santos to fill it up on Eduardo Garcia, right-handed batter and shortstop. Garcia trying to choke up on the handle of that bat. Dig his back foot all the way back in that right side, and he loops this pitch over towards the right field seats, and that'll get up and out of play. He's a 3-0-1 hitter. Over 25 games this year, he's right around the top 10 in Carolina League hitting. 31 hits over 103 at-bats, couple of home runs, and 21 RBIs. That's the most on the club. Another 3-2 payoff pitch from Santos is swung on and missed. Strike three. Big breaking slider, and Eduardo Garcia got caught leaning out in front. Nice strikeout pitch for the second out of the first. And that'll bring up the Carolina cleanup man.
That was the Achilles heel right there for Garcia, his 42nd strikeout of the season. He leads the team in a lot of statistical categories, but he's definitely had his fair share of swings and misses. Great pitch by Alex Santos.
Jackson Chorio is the cleanup man, and a first pitch change is just off the high outside corner for ball one. Down on second base, Henry Mendez being held close by Loperfido. And there's a fastball. He ramps it up and gets it through Chorio's swing. One ball and one strike. Just a small sample size of games. Chorio was with the Mudcats for the first time last week against the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Had a great series, though. 12 hits and 25 at-bats. Comes in a 480 hitter, playing in his seventh Carolina League game. Takes ball two and is in front 2-1. Five doubles over his first six games to go along with a home run and five driven in. Santos takes a peek to second. Set from above the belt, fires, and clips the zone. 93-mile-per-hour fastball, one of his harder ones today. And it goes to two balls and two strikes. Woodpeckers in the home white uniforms today. As Santos sets, takes a couple peeks to second base, delivers, and this pitch is popped a mile high on the infield. Foul territory, first base side. Mascai tracking it all the way onto the extended warning track in front of his own dugout. He makes the catch, and that'll end the inning for Alex Santos. He gives up the one-out single, the stolen base, but leaves a man stranded on second. We're just underway from Fayetteville. It'll be Whitaker and Cerny and Molina to grab the bats for the first time on the other side of this break on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Bunker's Entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Coupon. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. It's Tuesday and he's in the house. Make some noise for Bunker! Fans,
kids, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. It's Taco Tuesday. So if the Woodpeckers score three runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable only at their location on Gillespie Street here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three. The mound for the Mudcats, Ryan Moore. Tonight's Woodpeckers walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, number 8, Tyler Whitaker.
Bottom of the first inning in Segra Stadium, Tyler Whitaker leads it off for Fayetteville and takes an inside fastball knee level for a called strike. Just off that inside, sidewinding right-hander Ryan Moore out there on the mound for Carolina. He kicks and throws, and Whitaker checks his swing. Did he go too far? Trey Jester doesn't need an appeal. Says he did. And it's 0-2 quickly on Whitaker. Logan Cerny and Leo Stanley Molina waiting in the wings as Fayetteville grabs those bats for the first time today. Here comes the throw, and Whitaker takes strike three. On the outside corner, and Ryan Moore this evening with a backwards K to bring up Cerny, and Colin has the Carolina arrangements for you.
Mudcats come in sixth defensively in the Carolina League. Jefferson Caro doing the catching over at first. Jesus Chirinos at second. Zach Robbie. Eduardo Garcia is a shortstop. And Jeremy Vargas celebrating his 19th birthday is at third as that pitch misses inside. Left to right in the outfield. Hedbert Perez, Jackson Chario, and Hendry Mendez.
Cerny loops one foul over the screen, and it goes to 1-1. Yeah, so happy birthday, Jeremy Vargas. We have a Woodpeckers birthday tomorrow. Joey Loperfito turning 23 years old. So I imagine there might be a birthday cake somewhere in the ballpark. 1-2. Now on Cerny after a foul into the screen. A few birthdays coming up in May. You have Edinson Bautista and newly acquired Ian Fogo coming up as well in late May, early June. A tapper at the plate by Cerny, bringing it to a one ball, two strike count. So the Woodpeckers, as we mentioned, in those home white uniforms tonight for our radio audience, the black helmets for the Fayetteville hitters, and Carolina in the road reds, the red top with Mudcats in that white theme lettering across the chest of the uniform, small white numbers on the front of those unis, big white numbers on the backs. Cerny squares this one up on a line to center field, stays up just long enough. Chorio almost misplayed it, but is able to make a catch right below his knees, and solid contact for Cerny, who's in a bit of a slump right now, but is putting the ball in play more and more. On Saturday, he put the ball in play four times, and here at home, he starts his homestand with a socked liner out into center. Good contact, but two quick outs for Ryan Moore. And here's Leo Stanley Molina winding up and swinging to the first pitch, tapping it off the end of the bat to Moore on one hop. He runs towards first, underhand flips, and completes a very quick bottom of the first inning. So zeros for the offense on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Seats in the house. You've won a tumbler and drink tickets courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Show us those tumblers. So cool.
You're as cold.
Segra provides Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag GoSegra. The mound for the Woodpeckers, Alex Santos. Leading off the top of the second inning for the Mudcats, the catcher, number 25, Jefferson Quiero.
Scoreless through one tonight at Segra. It's the top of the second inning, and Jefferson Quiero leads it off for the Mudcats. He takes a center cut fastball from Alex Santos for strike one. It'll be Quiero followed by Chirinos and then Vargas, the 5-6. Santos down and in with a change at 83, and it's 1-1. Alex worked around a one-out single and a stolen base back in the first. Left a Carolina runner stranded in scoring position. Here comes the pitch, and it's lifted high along the right field line, slicing to foul territory. Mascai and Whitaker getting towards the rain tarp, but that'll find the seats. Bring it to a one-ball, two-strike count. Quiero comes in a 239 hitter. He's been with the Mudcats all year long, playing in his 22nd game of the season. Seven doubles, that's tied for the team lead to go along with a triple and a home run. 14 driven in this year for Quiero. Four walks, though. He likes to swing to 23 strikeouts. And he chases one just off the outside. A slider, and the second strikeout for Alex Santos starts at the top of the second inning.
Hey, here's the thing, Chap. We talked at the top of the broadcast about how many walks that this Woodpecker staff has issued this season. They also lead the Carolina League in strikeouts.
Yeah.
So at the same time, at least there's a method to the madness. They do a great job of getting hitters to chase at pitches out of the strike zone, and this was a good example of it from Santos.
And he starts first pitch fastball to Jesus Chirinos. He was late getting to that one. Santos gets ahead 0-1. Alex winding and throwing to Miguel Palma, and that pitch hit hard on a line. Short hops, Molina kicks off of his glove and gets into left field. Quincy Hamilton picks it up. Tough play for Molina. Seems like he played that one right. You don't want to come in on a ball like that, and you also don't want to back up on it. Molina held his ground, tried to pick it on a short hop, but that'll be chalked up as a hard hit single by Chirinos. Not much you can do as a shortstop on that one. Jeremy Vargas digs into the right side for the first time and takes low.
Just one of those sinking line drives that just kind of kept going down, 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 hits the ground and takes a huge hop right at Molina. Couldn't quite backhand it. Very tough play as a shortstop.
Inside pitch pops in and out of Palma's glove. He keeps eyes on the runner. Chirinos holds over there at first base. Chirinos, not a stolen base threat. He hasn't attempted to go all year long in 23 games. Jeremy Vargas, a little bit of a closed stance. He inverts that outside left foot, almost points it directly towards his back foot, really keeping that front side closed. And a fastball up and away, 92. Runs it to a two-ball, one-strike count. Couple of singles so far for the Carolina offense, but that's all. Middle infield at double play depth, pinching towards that bag, and a fastball runs in off the plate for a 3-1 count on Vargas.
Vargas coming from Venezuela, just like Woodpeckers outfielder and DH today, Kennedy Corona.
Here's the 3-ball, 1-strike pitch, and a fly ball hit down the left field line. Hamilton sprinting, and he's able to corral it. He legs it down, thought he might have to go into a dive, but he covered a lot of real estate quickly out there, had a great first jump. Those outfield instincts for Quincy Hamilton on display again. And today, Colin, he's making good plays out in left. He was in right on Sunday, had a big throw, and showing that he can really hold his own at any part of the outfield out there.
He showed off two of the five tools there, his speed to run that down and his glove to be able to reach out and make that catch. That's a huge play here in a scoreless game early.
It's now the left-handed hitting DH Oswald Leonis. Infield shaded to the pole side against the lefty, and he hits this one off the end of the bat towards the middle. And Leo Stanley Molina picks up even with second, throws on the move, and completes the play. So just like the first inning, a one-out single for Carolina, but that is all. They leave a runner stranded, two left stranded so far by Santos over two scoreless. Bottom two coming up on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
The T-shirt toss. Who wants a T-shirt?
In the club with my homies, trying to get a little deeper down on the low key. Did you know how it feels? I saw a shorty, she was checking up on me. From the game, she was singing in my ear. You would think that she know me. I decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to
walk out.
On the mound for the Mudcats, Ryan Moore.
She's up in my head now. Got me thinking that it might be a good idea to take her with me. She's ready to leave.
Well, let's go.
And I gotta keep it real now. Cause I'm the one.
Quincy Hamilton digs into that left side and gets set to start the bottom of the second inning. Fayetteville went down in order in the bottom of the first against right-hander Ryan Moore. It'll be Hamilton, Miguel Palma, and Joey Loperfido. Scoreless game. Alex Santos worked around a one-out single in the second. He's left two aboard after a couple of base hits from the Carolina offense. Quincy Hamilton coming off a terrific week on the road in Charleston. He's well over a 400 hitter in the month of May. Team leader with four home runs, 13 ribbies as well. 27 total hits, just above Joey Loperfido for the team lead and tied for the seventh most in the league coming into tonight. He takes a strike, fastball on the 1-0 pitch, so even 1-1. Here comes Shannon. It is popped out of play down left field side. 1-2. On Quincy Hamilton. The final numbers for him at the plate, Colin, they were pretty impressive.
They certainly sure were.
10 for 21. The offering up and away, plus the biggest hit of the week to help Fayetteville at least take one game on the road.
Yeah, he's a guy that you want at the plate in late game situations. He's had so many clutch hits.
It's a line shot, hit the opposite way, but Vargas shaded over to short, picks up down on a knee, and throws out Hamilton for the out. So he stung that one into the opposite direction. Infield was playing him a little bit to the pull side. They had Garcia, the shortstop, towards the middle. Vargas, farthest man over on the left side, but Quincy went the other way. Still managed to hit into that shift.
Yeah, a lot of talk about how the change of the rules would impact the shift as Palma swings and misses to kick off the at-bat, but you still see it. You just don't see it as profoundly, and it's still effective from a defensive standpoint.
Miguel Palma drives the 0-1 pitch to center field for Chirillo, and he makes the catch. Moving to his left, slightly in. And 5-up, 5-down for Ryan Moore, who came in today with a 1-0 record, a 5, making a 2.57 ERA. It's been all starts for him. This is his sixth start of the year. 28 innings of work. 10 walks, 33 strikeouts for Ryan Moore, the former pitcher at Old Dominion. Four-year college ball player, misses outside with a changeup to start Joey Loperfido.
Alma mater of Justin Verlander.
That's right. Houston's very own. And a fastball up and away. 2-0 on Loperfido. Joey coming in the team leader. 302 in average, playing in his 24th game of the year. Hits this line drive over the reach of Vargas along third in the left field. Takes a big turn of first base. Will hold for a two-out single. continues to find that outfield grass, his 27th hit of the year, and now Quincy Hamilton has company atop the team lead.
Yeah, I don't think Loperfido wanted to be in second net very long, as he's been up there for most of the season as the team leader in hits. Good job driving that pitch the other way. Moore had been in a real groove, retiring the first five batters of the game, but Loperfido says, you know what, let's start a two-out rally right here.
Yeah, see if that helps disrupt some of the flow early going. And Loperfido is on the move to second base as he slides in. That baseball hit him, and he's grabbing right at his backside. I thought that might have hit him in the foot, but I think it got him right on the belt area. And fortunately for the Carolina infield, that ball ricocheted right to Garcia. Otherwise, Joey Loperfido might have been on to third. But he holds second base, comes up with a stolen bag, and able to get himself into scoring position for Cody Orr, who's ahead in the count 1-0. No score here in the bottom of the second inning, two outs. Second baseman Rabb holding Loperfido close. Here it comes, and Orr foul tips into Kiro's mitt for strike one.
That's a fifth steal of the season for Loperfido. He had been caught five times prior to now, amongst the league lead in caught stealing, but that hasn't deterred him from staying aggressive on the base path, especially with two outs.
Here's the one ball, one strike pitch, a slider low. Run it to 2-1. Joe Thon describing Joey Loperfido today in the pregame show as a pro's pro. A guy that cares about his routine, cares about his body, staying healthy, and getting better each day he comes to the ballpark. And when you have a lot of young guys like Tyler Whitaker, you know, coming out of high school, a few years younger than Loperfido, it helps to have that guy who's been going through the motions and going through the process of a routine for so long through college to kind of learn from. Those guys are good friends. Two ball, two strike pitch runs up and outside.
Especially if you're a guy struggling early. I mean, Loperfido knew how that felt last season after having a rough stretch following being drafted by Houston and being get going, but now he's proven that he can hold his own here at the single-A level.
A 3-2 pitch to Cody Orr is hit out to left center field. Chirillo and Perez coming together. It is Perez, the left fielder, making the catch in the alleyway. And that'll end a two-out threat for the Woodpeckers. Joey Loperfido singles and swipes his fifth bag of the year, but is left on second base and through two tonight at Segra Stadium. It's nothing-nothing between the Woodpeckers and the Mudcats on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Alex Santos. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Mudcats, the second baseman, number four, Zach Robbie.
Segra Stadium, it is the top of the third inning, 9-1-2 scheduled for the Mudcats in a scoreless game with Alex Santos back out there on the mound. Very first pitch of the inning is lifted out into right center field. Tyler Whitaker waiting underneath it, and he makes the catch. One pitch, one out. I stole one from my partner, Colin Casey. But he'll take you the rest of the way through the third and the fourth with a play-by-play.
Thank you, Chappie. Zach Robbie flies out to right field on one pitch. So, efficient start to the third inning for Alex Santos. As in steps Hedbert Perez for the second time. He grounded out to first, his first time up. Santos's ERA continuing to drop. First pitch over for a strike. It's now down to 4.19. Really got inflated on some of the earlier appearances he made where it was a big-time adjustment. Went only an inning and two-thirds in his first start of the season, but has really gotten comfortable here in the Carolina League since then as Perez watches that ball in the dirt.
Yeah, there's three occasions now over his first five outings where he has not allowed an earned run. Gave up one in Charleston, but that was unearned on the fourth.
Fastball outside to Perez.
Really, what's mostly left of that ERA is still from opening night in Kannapolis, or his first appearance of the year. He's been dwindling it down ever since, though.
2-1 chopped foul outside of first base. Fayetteville coming in at 9-18 on the season, currently sixth in the South Division. Trying to make up ground, battling a North Division opponent in the Mudcats. That one ripped down the line by Perez, foul, where Carolina is 14-13, just a game over 500, but in second place in the North Division, 3.5 back of the Fred Nats. 2-2 from Santos. Breaking ball and a good take by Perez. Both teams trying to bounce back here with Fayetteville dropping each of their last four games. Their large lineups dropped back-to-back games, the final two games of the series against the Augusta Green Jackets. That one on the ground foul. We'll get another payoff pitch.
Big series this week between Myrtle Beach and Charleston, top two teams in the South squaring off at Myrtle Beach, so a chance for one of those teams to really take control of the South, or things might still remain close.
Perez with another big swing and is able to stay alive. He's not holding anything back there in that left-handed batter's box. Eyeing that short porch, just 325 down the right field line. Another payoff from Santos. This one is swung on and missed as he drops that one off the table down below the knees. That is strikeout number three for Santos and the second out at the top of the third.
And all three strikeouts today for Santos, at least two of the three have been on the slider, the other on the changeup there, but it's all been through the off-speed, sets up that fastball early and then tries to mess with guys' timing at the back end of the count.
Two away, bases empty. Hendry Mendez watches a first pitch fastball in the inside corner. Actually, that was the changeup. And at 83, pretty big 10 to 12 mile an hour difference between his fastball and changeup. That is really tough to adjust to as a hitter. Count 1-1 to Mendez, who has one of the two hits in this one for Carolina. He lunges out of the way of that one. Infield play in the pole. Loperfido deep in the hole at second. Breaking ball upstairs, and Mendez is one pitch away from drawing the first walk of the ball game against Santos. The 3-1. That one in there for a strike. Palma had trouble handling it, but it caught the inside corner. Going to make it five straight retired. It's in there on the inside corner for a called strike three. Got him with the breaking pitch. Freezes Mendez, and it's a perfect top of the third for Alex Santos. We head to the bottom half, still scoreless from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
This evening, take a look at the big board, and when you see your name, make some noise to let us know where you're sitting.
Yo, mouth. I got my windows down and blinders on. Radio set to my favorite song. All green lights on the road I'm on, man. There ain't no doubt I'm getting them good vibes. I'm living this good life. I'm breathing on God's time. And I
We're extremely grateful to have wonderful season ticket members who support the Woodpeckers year in and year out. Every game this season, we'll randomly select one lucky season ticket member to be our Hutchins High Performance Season Ticket Member of the Game. This individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's High Performance Season Ticket Member of the Game is Luis Berrios. Congratulations, Luis, and thank you for being a Season Ticket Member. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers. The first baseman, our power hitter of the game, number 17, Victor Mizcai.
Victor Mizcai digs in for the first time tonight. 8-9-1 hitters due up for Fayetteville as they look to strike first in front of their home crowd. Mizcai with a swing and a foul off to the left. Mizcai, the season, but 17 walks drawn. Falls behind nothing and two, far and away the most on the team. But Ryan Moore looks to put him away, tries to backdoor him, misses outside.
And that figure directly relates to why he's seeing an uptick in the batting average this year. Again, he's just above 200, but he was 30 points lower last year, and the walks weren't as high as they were, so he's becoming more selective at the plate, and that's just a product of more games, more at-bats at low A, and becoming a more mature hitter.
377 on-base percentage. Here he hits this one on the ground towards second. Bouncing ball fielded by Robbie, and a short throw to first. Retires Mizcai for the first out of the third. Moore, just like Santos, cruising right along.
And we might be in for another good back and forth battle with starting pitching, and if that's the kind of series it's going to be, well, it'll just be a continuation of last week in Charleston for Fayetteville, where most of their starters were able to keep it close, and then it turned into a battle of the bullpens.
Kennedy Corona watches strike one, really continuation two of the Kannapolis series before that. A lot of pitchers duels, and Corona lines this one into shallow left. It drops in front of Perez. Second hit of the game for Fayetteville through the first time through the order. So Corona able to get a one-out base runner here for Fayetteville. Back to the top of the order, Tyler Whitaker looking to break through. It's been a rough stretch lately for Whitaker. He's averaged 149 coming into tonight. But this coaching staff for Fayetteville certainly not giving up on the third round pick from a year ago. First pitch misses inside. He actually still owns the longest hit streak of the season for the Woodpeckers. So the bat is there. It's just a young player going through a tough stretch at the plate. On the move is Corona. The ball gets away. Look towards third, but he'll hold up. Should be a stolen base for Corona as the throw got away from Caro, but he got a great jump and looked like he might have been in there regardless.
Yeah, it ran in on Whitaker, clipped off of Kiro's glove, and then I think it got a piece of the arm of Trey Jester, the home plate umpire, so it kind of ricocheted away, and Kennedy Corona had his head down. Might not have seen it right away, otherwise he might have had a chance to grab third.
Stolen base number three for Corona. He's in scoring position with one down and a 2-0 count to Whitaker. Breaking ball dives outside, a 3-0 count. That's something that's got to be a good sign in the right direction for Whitaker, working a strong count against a good pitcher. We'll see if he has the green light. Ryan Moore looking to bounce back. Comes home and catches the outside corner. It's 89, 3-1.
The good thing is with Tyler, and Joe touched on it today in the pregame show, is that even though he might be in a little bit of a slump, you would never know it just based on how his pregame routine is every day. He's staying consistent with it. He's working in the cage.
Here it's a chopper to short. Tough throw. Close play. They get him by half a step. Vargas and Garcia had a little bit of trouble trying to decide who would get that ball, and eventually I think that was a shortstop Garcia who claimed it. Made the tough off-balance throw and just able to get Whitaker. But in the meantime, Corona moves up 90 feet to third, and with two away, Logan Cerny. crucial RBI spot at the bottom of the third.
Yeah, almost a tie-up there by the Mudcats infield. But if you're Fayetteville right now, close game, good starting pitching for both sides. You'll take that out to get a runner on third. No team has done that yet until now.
Cerny squared one up his first time, hit it right on the screws to the center fielder, Chorio. It's 1-0 to the Georgia native. Moore delivers. Broken back rounder, left side again. Garcia again, the by half a step once more. Cerny can't believe it. A couple of bang-bang plays at first, but the Woodpeckers on the wrong side of both of them. And Corona is stranded at third to end the third. 2-3 full, still scoreless from Segra. Stay tuned right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take it away, T.
Hey, John, what's going on? Happy birthday. Hey. All right, so we've got a special treat for you today. It is John's birthday. You know what I always say, you got to celebrate well, all right? It's a national holiday. So we're going to sing happy birthday to you, okay? You ready? All right, you ready, guys? Let's do it. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday.
John, celebrate it well. Happy, happy birthday.
There's not a better place to take in your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Alex Santos. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Mudcats, the shortstop, number 13, Eduardo Garcia.
Eduardo Garcia leads things off to begin the fourth. 3, 4, and 5 hitters due up for the Carolina Mudcats against Alex Santos, who, as we've been saying all season long, delivering another strong start to the game from a Woodpecker starting pitcher. Here he tries to float a breaking ball in, misses high. He has retired each of the last 5 batters, including back-to-back strikeouts to end the top of the third. Missed close on the first two. Garcia was the first strikeout victim of the game, struck out swinging with one out in the first. Here he puts a charge into one out to left center field. Hamilton shading over, but Cerny calls him off. And finally, that one comes down. He makes the catch. Another quick out number one for Santos. He has retired the first batter of the inning in all 4 thus far.
One of those outings where he's been so efficient when it comes to overall pitch count. Right now, in the 40s, that you wonder if they might stretch him beyond the fourth inning for the first time this season. He hasn't gone more than 4. A couple times last year they pushed him to complete 5.
He's gone exactly 71 pitches in each of his last 2 outings, so we'll wonder how far past that threshold he goes. Chorio ahead in the count, popped out to end the first. Looking to continue that hot stretch. He chops one towards third. Orr bobbles it, tries to stay with it, but too much speed from Chorio as Orr costing himself a chance at that out. That will probably be ruled an error on Cody Orr. So one out base runner again for the Mudcats. Had one out base runner three times now so far. See if they can take advantage and get that opening salvo with Jefferson Caro to the plate.
Orr made the right decision on that play, cutting in front of Molina, the shortstop. He had the
shorter path to the ball. It just kicked right off.
Flare down the right field line, foul off the roof. They will actually give Chorio an infield single. So that will bump his batting average up a bit more, continuing the strong start he's had since being promoted exactly 1 week ago. Pickoff throw by Santos. Chorio back with a dive. Coming from the Dominican Summer League. And just an instance of a guy excited to take advantage of an opportunity. He's done just that. A cue shot. First base side. Santos gloves it and throws it over the head of Mascai. They're going to wave in the runner. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's up the line. And what looked like to be a sure out leads to the first run of the ball game as Santos barehanded it, tossed it over Mascai's head into right field, and scoring all the way from first is Chorio. Just like that, a 1-0 Carolina lead.
Well, and that's just those tough plays as a pitcher where you're in your motion on the mound, right? You're throwing 100% every single time, and then suddenly whole dynamic changes. You have to rush off the mound, grab that baseball, and kind of short throw it, aim it in a way, and you could just tell the way that elbow was positioned for Santos. It was an awkward throw. He short-armed it, dipped the arm, and it sailed right over Mascai's head. Now he slipped delivering that pitch, and fortunately pops right back up. Looks to be okay, but you can tell he's no doubt a little phrase, been pitching so well, so you'd hate to have just a little fielding play like that mess with your mentality on the mound.
Pitch to Chirino, skips in, and it pops up in the air back towards Santos. That allows Caro to easily make it to third, so things going from bad to worse for Santos on the mound.
Yeah, if I'm Palmer or I'm John Kovalik here, I'd go out to the mound and just calm your pitcher down a little bit. Just let him know, hey, we got your back. Slow things down a little bit and put that play out of mind. Get a couple outs, get out of the inning. Seems like he's been a little bit in his head since that play.
One half-hearted swing at a pitch out of the zone. Nice bounce back by Santos. It's 1-2. The infield, their toes on the grass. Prepared to try to cut down Caro at the plate. 1-0 lead for the visitors. The 1-2. Another swing and another miss there as Chirinos lost in that at-bat. He strikes out swinging. Santos able to overcome the error and get right back to business. Big out number two. Here is Vargas. Jeremy Vargas looking to bring home an insurance run with two away. Santos delivers. Vargas way late. Fouls it off. Vargas comes into tonight hitting 218. Just the one home run, six runs driven in. Tied for the team lead in runs scored, 14, along with Albert Scipione, who is not in the lineup today, and Vargas falls behind 0-2. Santos looking to get out of the inning with just one run across. The pitch. Sent out to shallow center. Cerny jogging in, makes the grab, and that'll do it. So an infield single and an error by Santos allows Carolina to get on the board first, but Santos able to limit the damage with the 3.5. 1-0 Carolina from Segra Stadium.
Hockey, 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 speed, time.
on the mound for the Mudcats, Ryan Moore. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leo Stanny Molina.
Leo Stanny Molina leading it off in the home half of inning number four with a check swing. He can't hold up as Ryan Moore starts him off with a strike. Molina ended the first with a ground out two more. Now he falls behind nothing and two. Ryan Moore coming into tonight as the innings leader in the Carolina League. A hot shot to short. Garcia's throw nearly pulls off Chirinos from the first base bag, but been a busy one so far for Garcia. That's three straight assists over at short. He made it look easy, one away.
Yeah, that's the first time I really think from Garcia over at short. He didn't move his feet at all. He didn't even have to step into that throw. He just kind of sidearmed it off the short hop and delivered it there easily. So he's a true shortstop over there.
Quincy Hamilton takes ball one. Grounded into the shift over at third is first trip. It's really more so where Garcia's normally playing at short, but see him on your screen just a couple of steps from that second base bag. Hamilton ahead 3-0. I'd be shocked if he didn't have the green light. Team leader in extra base hits. But here he will take a solid pitch on the inside corner. The 3-1. That one just inside, and Hamilton heads down to first. First walk surrendered by Ryan Moore, and Fayetteville is a one-out base runner.
Yeah, we touched on a little bit in the pregame show, Colin, how Woodpeckers second overall in the minors right now in walks. Mudcats not too far behind them, and that's exactly the check scorebook first walk of the game. So we've seen a lot of strike thrown in the early going, but kind of expected it with two of the top pitchers for both sides on the mound.
Quick snap throw by Moore, but Hamilton heads back. He's able to continue his on-base streak, looking to extend his hit streak. Hasn't been able to just yet. Currently at 9 games, his hitting streak, which is the second longest of the season by a Fayetteville Woodpecker. Miguel Palma watches strike one called. He flew out to center field his first trip. Decent lead by Hamilton. He stays put, though. Palma watches a ball outside, hops out of the mitt of Caro. Between Charleston and Myrtle Beach, well, the River Dogs off to a hot start on the road, up 6-0 in the top of the fifth, and they still have runners in scoring position right now, so they've been all over Myrtle Beach. There's a chopper to the right side through the infield for a hit, as Palma sneaks one past the second baseman, Robbie. And here come the Woodpeckers. After giving up a run in the top of the first, they have runners at first and second with one away in the bottom half of the fourth.
Well, the box score doesn't list exit velos next to base hits. That's not a thing. So Miguel Palma will take that one, kind of in on the hands. He got jammed and just went the opposite way of Zach Robbie, who was kind of pinching towards second base, and he'll tank it. Palma had a three-hit game in Charleston and opens his series up with a base hit here tonight.
Loperfido watches ball one up and away. Had that base hit the other way his first time. Definitely used that. With Hamilton's speed, anything in the outfield, has got a good chance of tying this game. Loperfido with a big wave, but he foul tips it straight back. Former Duke Blue Devil, played a lot of big games in the ACC. Moore fights back on the outside, 1-2. Pretty steady breeze here in Fayetteville. Feels like it's coming in from right field.
There's some hoodies around the ballpark already. It must be getting a little chilly down there.
one of the cooler nights we've seen, and time is called. Don't believe it was a pitch clock violation. So it's still 1-2. Moore delivers. Tried to backdoor him again, but misses.
I'm bummed out because I didn't bring my own hoodie. There's not too many players are going to be able to wear a hoodie. And I missed out on my chance tonight.
Yeah, I think I only packed one hoodie, so that was probably
a mistake.
And you
came from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Low Profito up the middle, snagged on a hop by Garcia. Steps on second. The throw to first is in time. Another defensive clinic put on by Eduardo Garcia as he robs a single from Low Profito and turns it into a 6-3 double play to get Moore and the Mudcats out of the inning. Couple stranded from Fayetteville as they were threatening, but can't come through with the tying run. We're through 4, 1-0 Carolina on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Teacher over at E. Smith High School. She was not one of my favorite teachers, but it's all good, okay? Here we go. So, Simpson, name this instrument. Can you guys help her out? I hope this, okay, I was hoping it's multiple choice. What you think, A, B, or C?
Let's go with A.
You going with A? A punji? Is that how you say that? I thought it was a banjo. Oh, look, oh. Okay, so it wasn't that. Okay, what about this one?
Oh.
Yeah. A. She's going with A, that's right. Be the math teacher, listen to the students. Don't listen to the students. Don't do that. Okay. All right. What about this one? We're so stuck at this. All right. What do you think?
I'm going C.
All right. She said C. And the crowd said C. It's gotta be C. Yeah, those panpipes. Okay. What is this instrument? I'm going to throw this in the box. Okay. But what is this? It's saying A.
Everybody's saying A. I think it's a...
She's going with B. They said A. She said you should have went with the crowd. It's all good, Miss Simpson. Let's give it up for Miss Simpson from E. Smith High School. 17 years in the game.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Alex Santos. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Mudcats, the designated hitter, number 34, Oswell Leones.
1-0 Mudcats through 4 from Segra Stadium. Alex Santos on for his fifth inning of work and to take you through the next couple innings of play-by-play. The voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thank you very much, Colin. We speculated about it earlier, and indeed, for the first time this season, Alex Santos is going to be extended into a fifth inning. He's completed 4 tonight as he delivers a strike to Osvaldo Leones, the 8-hitter and lefty DH. He swings and hits this one off the end of the batter. Roller out to Low Profito at second. He picks up, throws over to first, 2 pitches, and Alex Santos has it out in the fifth. Now the longest outing for him this season at 4 1/3. It is Zach Robbie, the 9-hitter, steps in. We welcome in the general manager of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers to the broadcast booth. It is Steve Pillay, and we haven't touched base with Steve in about a month since I think the opening homestand of the regular season. Here's the winding first one home, a swing and a miss. And Steve, since you were last up here, we made some additions to the broadcast booth as well. We got a flag in here. What do you think of the new digs?
I like the autographs on the pole up here. Got to sign that before I get out.
That's right. Yes, yeah. We have a pesky pole. There's this big white pole that was running through the booth, so we painted a yellow like a foul pole. And here comes the pitch to Robbie. It's a letter high, too high, 2-1. So really 6-game homestand here at Segra Stadium this month, and then it's on the road for a couple to Down East and Kannapolis. So if you're a Woodpeckers fan trying to come out to see some baseball, I guess you got to take advantage of this homestand, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, we got it's our only homestand pretty much of the month. You know, we'll have a busy June coming up, but we got some great promotions coming up. Something really cool each and every day this week.
Here's a 3-1 pitch. Santos trying to avoid the walk, and he gets a ground ball out to short, picked by Leo Stanley Molina, and a routine 6-3 put out for two quick ones for Alex Santos. Get back to the top of the order, Hedbert Perez for a third time. So tonight, T-shirt Tuesday, 1,000 fans in the ballpark. Got a very cool blue and gold Woodpeckers T-shirt. And then tomorrow, of course, Dollar Dog Wednesday. When are we going to see your pups out at the ballpark? What do you have, three or four doggos?
Got four
at home?
Of them. Yeah, four of them, and I think they would be a menace here. they're little tiny ones that would just probably, like, scare everybody to death. Yeah. So.
Or get in a fight with try and take down the bigger dogs. You know, they'd all team up.
That is
four,
true.
4v1. Breaking ball over the outside corner. Called a strike to Perez. Santos throwing home and missing up and outside. Then Thirsty Thursday, of course. You got your drink discounts, the usual. And Friday will be one of our special nights in Fayetteville that we always have, Military Appreciation Night.
Yeah, Military Appreciation Night on Friday, honoring the Gold Star family members.
Hamilton almost able to make that play. Just got over the seats, and now he might have been hit in the leg by the fence out there, and he's a little bit hobbled trying to shake that one off. But as we were mentioning, Military Appreciation Night, always a great celebration here in Fayetteville, honoring everybody that serves locally, stationed out at Fort Bragg, and everybody who serves across our country.
Yep, we're going to have specialty jerseys that night, honoring the Gold Star families. Fireworks show after the game. So that's always great. Our Fireworks Fridays, everybody loves that. We put on a good show that. And then Saturday night is going to be our Faith and Family night with a special performance by Building 429. So excited about that. Both games are, tickets are still available, but tickets are going pretty quick. And then Sunday, which is a nice sunny day on Sunday, we're going to have a tumbler given away by ERA. Excited about that tumbler as well. So it looks pretty good. I got a
sneak peek. I might already have one in my collection. I might have cut the line and gotten one, but it's multi-use. It's like coffee, water, tea. You know, for me, tea is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Being up in the broadcast booth.
You gotta get that voice going.
That's right.
The chappy
right.
voice.
Yeah, tons of good giveaways here at the ballpark this week. And again, take advantage of the homestand while you can. Just tonight, and then five more games running through Sunday, May 15th. And then you got to wait all the way until the final day of May when the Fredericksburg Nationals come to town, May 31st. That'll be 2 weeks afterward to come back out to Segra Stadium.
Well, that'll be one of my favorite homestands on that June. We got the Star Wars night.
That's
I'm a
right.
huge Star Wars fan. I know we have a few Star Wars fans in our front office. Very excited about that. I think it's Margaritaville night.
We have that. Star Wars night, yeah, June 3rd. And Margaritaville night is immediately afterwards, June 4th.
All the parrot heads coming out.
That's right. Are you a member of a parrot head club? I used to work for a general manager who was like the president of the local parrot head club.
Yeah, not,
big Jimmy Buffett guy.
Yeah, not a huge parrot head, but do enjoy the music. I will not do yes. karaoke with Buffett, but.
Mm-hmm. Alex Santos taking a couple warm-up throws. He's at 70 pitches now, a 2-2 count on Perez after Quincy Hamilton had to be looked at out in left field. Breaking ball misses outside, and it's a 3-ball, 2-strike count.
My old broadcast partner, Tim Foley, up in Harwich, was really big on just belting out Jimmy Buffett lyrics in between innings.
Pitch is fouled back and out of play.
You know, everyone likes to get wasted away.
That's
margarita.
Right, yeah. Wasted away. Sure. I imagine margaritas will be flowing here at the ballpark. Some drink discounts that night. And Thirsty Thursday coming up in a couple nights. 3-2 pitch is hit on the ground out to Loperfito over at second. He'll pick up in the shallow grass make. Of course, all the big promotions upcoming this week at Segra Stadium. If fans want to try and jump on some tickets for the family, what's the easiest way for them to come out here if they don't already have a ticket plan?
Yeah, if they don't have a ticket plan, give us a call at the box in the office. We'll hook you up with some memberships. If you have a group, give us a call, our group sales reps. If not, go online and purchase your tickets. Get them early and reserve your seats now.
FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. Easy to find them right there. It says Steve Play, the general manager of the Woodpeckers, joining us here in the fifth. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Back in a moment.
National Defense Service Ribbon and the Army Service Ribbon. He currently serves as a fire control specialist in Alpha Battery, 1/319th Airborne Field Artillery Regiment. Fans,
Let's hear it for Private Second Class Marcos Rodriguez. Thank you for your service. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 14, Cody Orr.
It's the bottom of the fifth inning. Alex Santos has gone five solid innings today, giving up just the one unearned run in the top of the fourth inning. Now Cody Orr trying to play equalizer, get the bottom of the fifth started against the starter, Ryan Moore, and he liner through the left side. Cody Orr with a single, fourth Fayetteville hit this evening. They've all been singles. And Colin, last three innings, Fayetteville has managed to put runners on. Their issue Sunday was kind of the same thing. They had opportunities but finished 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position. Left five on, and now they're trying to avoid carrying that into this homestand. It's now Victor Mascai swinging at the first one and spraying it foul under the train tracks for strike one.
Well, to Carolina's credit, they've made some huge defensive plays to end some of these innings. I mean, the double play by Garcia last inning, massive. Most guys at short aren't making that play. Garcia does.
Orr is moving to second on the pitch. It's called a strike. Throw down is not in time. Garcia cut in front of the bag, tried to swipe a tag, and just barely missed the back of Orr's foot diving in. He comes up with a stolen base. Fayetteville 2-for-2 running on Kiro today. Lo Perfido nabs second base back in the second inning.
And Orr quietly with seven steals now in the season. He's just one back of the team lead.
This is the fourth straight inning that Fayetteville has put a man in scoring position. Victor Mascai waiting from that left side with Garcia shaded up the middle of the diamond. Vargas is straight up at third, so a big hole if he can go the opposite way. And he takes strike three. Low fastball on that outside edge. Ryan Moore hasn't been using the strikeout much today. That's his first since getting Tyler Whitaker to open the game. But it's one gone, second strikeout for him. Now Kennedy Corona.
Yeah, the one positive, if you're not striking out a lot of batters, if you're on the mound, is that it often leads to more efficient at-bats. Just one walk, but he's getting guys to put it in play. I know Greg Maddux was really big on that, you know, pitching right at hitters, kind of sacrifice some of that strikeout pitch. Of course, he still struck out a lot of batters, but it allows you to be a real efficient pitcher and be able to go deep into ball games.
Kennedy Corona. He stuck the bat out, pulled a single to left, his only time up in the third, digs in 1-for-1. Season average for Kennedy. Chops this one on one high hop to the mound. Moore going to have to hurry, zips one over, and gets Corona. That ball was too close to the third base side. It's for Cody Orr to try and stretch to third base. He would have run the risk getting thrown out by Ryan Moore. And after the single and the stolen base, a couple of quick outs in response. Back to the top of Fayetteville's lineup. Here's Tyler Whitaker with a chance to tie the game with two outs.
Just mentioned Greg Maddux. This is another Greg Maddux example of fielding your position well by Moore. I mean, a couple of steps to his right and throwing across his body with all that momentum going towards third base. That's an excellent play. And on top of that, he was able to keep Orr at second.
Slider misses down and outside to Whitaker. One ball and no strikes to count. Whitaker put the ball in play his last time. Rolled out to Garcia over at short. And on the 65th pitch of the game for Ryan Moore, he delivers a strike to Whitaker. Changeup to bring it to 1-1. Logan Cerny standing on deck if Whitaker can try and extend things here. 1-0 Carolina lead. The only run coming in the top of the fourth on a throwing error by Alex Santos that sailed over towards the rain tarp and right and allowed Jackson Chorio to come all the way around. And now the 1-1 is hit on a line past the reach of Chirinos and up the right field line. Cody Orr is coming around third. Whitaker will hold, and he has tied this game. A shot in the arm for the Fayetteville leadoff man. 1-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning.
That's just great to see for Whitaker. You know the struggles he's been going through at the plate, 0-for-2 already today, but he just stings one the other way down the right field line. Almost an excellent play by Chirinos, lunging after it. Couldn't quite get a glove on it. Plenty of room down the right field line, going on contact, or with his speed, he was in easily. We got a brand new ball game in the fifth.
And Whitaker is going to move on the first pitch. It's a strike down the middle, and a one-hopping throw kicks into center field. Whitaker's move goes to Shaggett. And Fayetteville gets Whitaker 90 feet away on one aggressive run. He'll get the stolen base of second. Fayetteville now 3-for-3 running on Kiro. And Tyler Whitaker now is just one wild pitch away potentially from giving Fayetteville their first lead in this game. Sometimes it's just one sequence like this that helps build your confidence back up as a ball player. Here's the 1-0 home, and Cerny takes a fastball strike. I believe that's the 0-1 pitch. It should be 0-2. The Whitaker slashing that line drive up the right field line, quickly getting aggressive on the bases, showing off that athleticism as the pitch comes in, and Cerny swings that one down to the dirt. That will end the inning. Strike three on Cerny, but Tyler Whitaker able to break out of the spell and tie the game. An RBI single scores Cody Orr, and it's 1-1 after 5 tonight in Fayetteville. Top 6 next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
As our contestant down on the dugout. Take it away, T.
Okay, Marsh, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, Marsh is a math teacher at E. Smith. I don't know why they keep bringing these math teachers up here. Shout out to all the math teachers, though. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Jeopardy. Now, you have to answer it in the form of a question. So, what do you call a group of giraffes? It's no...
What? A who?
What is... This is why I teach math. That's what he said.
What is... I don't know this answer.
A tower.
Okay.
Here we go. A tower. You guys knew that, right? All right. Here we go. Okay. What two countries share the largest border? Who knows? She's like, I don't know. What you think? Okay, go with it. What is
Russia and China?
All right, we're going to go with that. It's going to be one of them or not. Canada, United States. Okay, who discovered gravity? Come on, you know this. Even though you teach math. What you think? Who?
What is? No? Come on.
What is?
Yeah, there we go. Who is? All right, give it up. Okay, last one. What is the color? Focus, Marsh. What's the color of Ruby?
Red. What is red?
What is red? Is he right? Might be. All right, you're on fire. Let's go. That's it. That's it. We're done. Let's give it up for Marsh, everybody.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 38, Freeland Garcia. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Mudcats, the right fielder, number 9, Hendry.
Fayetteville turns to a new arm in the top of the sixth inning, a new ball game, 1-1, thanks to a Tyler Whitaker RBI single. It's Franklin Garcia blitzing home a first pitch fastball and a called strike to Hendry Mendez. It'll be Eduardo Garcia, Jackson Chorio, 2-3-4 to face Fraylin. After Alex Santos goes 5 strong today, his longest start of 2022. Here's the pitch out of the stretch, and it's lifted foul down the left field line. Quickly 0-2 on Mendez. For Santos, he gives up just the one run on his own throwing error that sailed over Mascai's head down the right field line, allowing Jackson Chorio to score in the fourth. That was an unearned run. Fourth outing this year that Santos has not allowed an earned run, and perhaps best thing today for him is he didn't walk anybody. He was all around the zone and struck out 5 Carolina hitters over those 5 innings. The 0-2 pitch, a swing and a miss by Mendez. Strike 3 starts the sixth. And Fraylin Garcia went 93-95, and then worked a breaking ball in there to Mendez. Got him with the off speed. And picks up his 19th strikeout of the year. Franlin Garcia, another guy who had a kind of inflated walk to strikeout ratio. 11 walks to 19 Ks. He's starting to find the command a little bit more as well in his second year with Fayetteville. Misses up high with a fastball, and it's one ball and no strikes to Eduardo Garcia. Comes in with no record, a 9.31 ERA, pitching out of the pen for the eighth time. He sets at the letters and kicks home. 1-0 is scorched foul into the screen, first base side. 1-1 on Garcia. Last season, Franlin pitched in 15 games in relief before he was bumped up to High A Asheville and finished the season strong in High A, pitched to a 2.35 ERA over nine games. Here's the 1-1 delivery, and it is up and inside. So you consider the fact that he's been at this level, he's gone to High A. A couple good outings, and Franlin Garcia could find himself right back in McCormick Field, just like Ernesto Jaquez did this year. Couple more promotions coming yesterday of Ryan Gusto and Franny Cobos. 2-1. High fastball and a swing and a miss.
I wonder how long it sets in for a pitcher after getting that promotion to Asheville to be like, all right, this is awesome. I'm moving up a level. And then you realize that you're playing one of the most pitcher-friendly or hitter-friendly ballparks in the entire High A level.
Two ball, two strike pitch and a tapper at the plate. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Woodpeckers this year in Asheville who have been kind of hit around. Pietro Tokar comes to mind, a guy who was one of the most efficient arms Fayetteville had back a couple months of last year and then has had a couple getaway games in High A this year where all the hits are coming, giving up 7-8 runs. But you still know he's a great pitcher. 2-2 down in the dirt. Goes to full on Garcia. That was 97 on the gun that time.
And despite the tough start to the season for the Tourists, it seems like their pitching staff's done a pretty solid job, all things considered. I think it's more of an offensive issue more than anything.
Yeah, you saw Chase McDermott give them a good five-inning start on Sunday. Payoff pitch from Garcia to Garcia. It is fouled back into the screen. That's 96, and Franlin really has the velocity working for him today. Garcia today is struck out swinging against Santos back in the first. Flied out to center his last time. The payoff gets him leaning out in front. Strike three and back-to-back K's for Franlin Garcia out of the bullpen. Two gone in the sixth inning.
That was nasty.
Yeah.
That thing had looked like a foot and a half of break started up at the shoulders and just drops down below the bottom of the strike zone. There's not much you can do there if you're Garcia other than swing and pray and comes up empty. Excellent start for Garcia.
I think that's where they derive the nickname, the old Uncle Charlie. And here comes the pitch. It is up a little bit to Chorio. Changeup coming from Garcia, pitching backwards to the Carolina cleanup man who singled and scored the only run of the game for the Mudcats in the fourth. One run, three hits for Carolina. A run and six hits for Fed. Fastball 95, a little bit low. Low Profito shaded towards the middle of the diamond. Mascai just about straight up at first, so hole on the right side. Left side playing Chorio, the righty straight up as well. Outfield. Straight up, a down and away fastball at 95 again, and it goes to three balls and no strikes. Jefferson Kuro, the catcher, stands on deck if this sixth inning goes any further. Kind of a chilly night. Pitchers don't mind, though. 3-0 is a get-me-over breaking ball. Looked like a slider, and Garcia must be feeling that off-speed to go to at 3-0. Got that strikeout a moment ago of Garcia. Now 3-1, see if he goes off-speed again. Target set up and outside. Fastball is chopped out to third for Orr. He fields on the short hop and zips a throw across the diamond in time. Nice throw across the body, and Cody Orr picked that one cleanly to end a 1-2-3 inning for Fraylin Garcia. Fayetteville pitching has set down eight in a row going back to the fourth inning. And we head to the bottom of the sixth. Our ball game tied 1-1. Woodpeckers and Mudcats continues in a moment.
I'm sipping wine, sip. In a row, I look too good to be alone. Ooh. My house clean, my pool warm.
Kiss Cam.
Smooth like a newborn. We should be
Kiss
dancing,
Cam.
Romancing in the east wing and the west wing.
Kiss Cam.
I am playing no games, everywhere that I see.
Kiss Cam.
So if you're trying to lay
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
Ooh, you're so sweet, so sweet, so tight, so tight. I won't bite unless you like, unless you like. If you smoke, what you smoke? I got the haze. And if you're hungry, girl, I got the lace. Ooh, ooh, baby, don't keep me waiting. There's so
Kiss
much
Cam.
Love we could be making. I'm talking kissing.
Kiss Cam.
Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leostani Molina.
It's the bottom of the sixth inning. Our game tied 1-1. Woodpeckers and Mudcats. And start the bottom of the sixth. Leostani Molina steps out of the way of an inside changeup. Ryan Moore working into the sixth. He's trying to give the Mudcats a quality start tonight. Molina hacks at the 1-0, fouls it over the net, and that'll even things at a ball and a strike. Heart of the order with Molina, Quincy Hamilton, and Miguel Palma. Molina hitless, couple of ground outs today, 0 for 2. Infield plays him straight up as the 1-0 comes home, and a fastball at 90 miles an hour clips the corner. It is 1-2. Molina keeps those feet very close together at the back of the box, leans into a slider, chops it over to the left side, a spin off the throw from Vargas, and the third baseman makes a nice play. Carolina has got some very efficient defense today from the left side of their infield. Vargas hasn't been involved a ton. In fact, that's his first putout in this one. But Garcia's 4-for-4 on balls hit his way, and that whole left side of the Carolina diamond has been pretty locked in.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I was about to say, everything hit over there. It felt like an automatic out for Fayetteville.
Quincy Hamilton staying patient on the first one. A 1-0 count to begin his at-bat. One out, bases empty in the home sixth. Hamilton drew a walk back in the fourth inning. And is ahead 2-0. They have Garcia playing almost all the way up the middle, as far as he can with the shift rule. Fastball outside. Hamilton had a 3-0 count back in the fourth inning. Had to take sign on before working that walk. The only one allowed by Ryan Moore to this stage. His kick, his 3-0, right over the middle. 3-1.
I wonder how many folks at home out here in North Carolina tuning into a big playoff game.
A liner lashed out to right, and that'll touch down for a base hit. Quincy Hamilton, a one-out single, and the go-ahead run is on for Fayetteville. Quincy came in today. He was 438 over his last 10 games, and he'll continue to tick that average up, and now with that base hit, he is out to a 10-game hitting streak.
Yep, was about to say, second double-digit hitting streak of the season as he's closing in on Tyler Whitaker, who had one from April 12th to April 24th.
I don't know if I've seen that before. Quincy Hamilton was standing on the first base bag. He was still buckling the sliding glove, and Ryan Moore stepped off and picked over.
So I was saying, though, a big playoff game here in the Carolina area. The Hurricanes playing
right
at home, game five, off to a great start. I believe they're up 3-0 on the Boston Bruins.
And a fastball in on the knees of Palma, but called a strike by Trey Jester, the home plate man. 0-1 on Miguel Palma. Chance for two with something on the ground. Ryan Moore set to the belt. Hamilton's on the move. This pitch is chopped on two hops out to Garcia at short. Doesn't have a play at second base. He throws low to first, and Chirino bails out his shortstop. He digs it out. The first blunder tonight by Garcia, but the other side of his infield is able to erase a potential error. Two gone. Hamilton makes it to second, and Joey Loperfido getting ready to bat.
That was huge that Hamilton was in motion. That's a tailor-made double play if he wasn't. So that aggressive base running from Joe Thon and the Woodpeckers paying off, and now all of a sudden, big RBI spot for a guy who you want at the plate with runners in scoring position and two down.
Loperfido from that left side takes the first one, a backdoor breaking ball for strike one. Yeah, Fayetteville 3-for-3 in stolen base attempts today. Doubtful Hamilton will get aggressive down on second base with Fayetteville's top hitter going to put something to the outfield and give Fayetteville their first lead. Out hitting Carolina 7-3. Went right back to the backdoor slider. Just missed off the outside. Evens at 1-1. This Carolina Mudcats catching staff in 2021 was historic when it came to giving up stolen bases. They allowed the most in the minors in over 15 years, north of 300 allowed stolen bases by the end of the season. Foul ball back at the plate, and it seemed like over the course of the season series, every time a Fayetteville runner got on base, they were moving. You didn't even need to give a sign in the third base coach's box. Runners just had a green light the second they reached first.
And on the other side of things, this year, Chappie, Mudcats are last in stolen bases, so they're not as aggressive. They'll let other teams run on them, but they don't really reciprocate it.
Moore gets the sign. Here's pitch 87 of his night, and he strikes out Joey Loperfido to close the scoreless sixth inning. Well, Ryan Moore has given Carolina everything they need tonight. A quality start to keep this game deadlocked as we go to the seventh inning. Fayetteville leaves Hamilton down on second base. Back third of our ball game coming up on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network 1-1.
By the wreck of machine, I knew he must have been about 17. He was strong, playing my favorite song, and I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me.
What's your choice? Which one is it? If you selected number one, you're a winner. Give yourself a high five.
Smile so I got up and asked for his name. That don't matter, he said, because it's all the same. Where we can be alone. And next we're moving on. He was with me, yeah, me. Next we're moving on.
Fans, it's last call for any alcohol purchases at our concession stands. All sales will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Freeland Garcia.
Game one of this six-game series in Fayetteville, and our opener is a good one. 1-1 in the top of the seventh inning. Fayetteville pitching has found a groove going back to the fourth. It'll be the 5, 6, and 7 of the Carolina order in this seventh. And to take you through the play-by-play, let's throw it back to Colin.
Thank you so much, Andrew. First pitch swinging is Jefferson Caro. And Fraylin Garcia gets him way out in front. Garcia trying to reciprocate. A 1-2-3 sixth inning he had coming on in relief of Alex Santos, and he's able to start Caro off 0-2. Santos going five innings, no decision. One run, unearned. Did not walk any batters and struck out six. As the breaking pitch, Caro able to lay off.
We talked to Joe Thon, the manager, pregame today about Alex Santos, and one of the questions I asked him was, what factors dictate when Santos is going to be considered ready to go to high A? Because a lot of his stuff right now could probably already play at the higher levels of the Astros system.
Fastball in tight, shakes Caro off the plate as he stumbles out of the box.
As it was building up the innings again, got into pro ball at a tough time during a shutdown minor league season in 2020. So more live innings is the big thing. And then just working with John Kovalik a little bit more about perfecting the off-speed stuff here in low A. And then it's possible that he'll make it through the higher levels of the system even quicker.
Big cut from Caro. He comes up empty, and that's three strikeouts in four batters for Fraylin Garcia. And he begins the seventh the same way he began the sixth with a punch-out. Jesus Chirinos, one for two with a single and a strikeout. Get things started for a Carolina offense that's been pretty dormant throughout this game. One run on three hits, and the lone run came on a throwing error as a big wave and a miss by Chirinos. And across the board, Carolina hasn't been that formidable at the plate. They are tied for second in runs, but sixth in average, tied for ninth in home runs, ninth in on base, ninth in slugging. Chopper to the right side, Garcia can't get it. Mascai barehands it, the throw is in time. A little bit of improvisation there as Garcia fanned on the play, but kept his head down and ran straight to first base. Mascai backed him up, nice little barehand, flipped it right across, and that's out number two.
Yeah, that was a quick little change of roles for Garcia. He wanted to do everything he could to grab that himself and just run it to the bag and do the job all alone, but second he got over that glove, he said, all right, now I'm a first baseman, ran over there, and Victor Mascai completes the play.
First pitch to Vargas is in there for a called strike. Wonder if it hit his glove, because if it did, that's technically a 1-3-1 put out. Don't see that too often. Breaking pitch, Vargas lays off. He's 0-for-2 with two flyouts.
I've seen a play before that's like a 3-6 with nobody on base. Cachet's towards the shortstop and he makes catch. Or a 1-6, I guess.
Chopper to third, Orr with another great play. The throw is in time. Just like to end the sixth, Cody Orr charges a ball, fields it in between hops, and fires it across to Victor Mascai. And it's 6-up, 6-down for Fraylin Garcia. We head to the stretch, tied at one apiece from Segra on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take, sing a little louder. So it's Packers. Sing it loud. At the old. Atta boy, Packers. Atta boy.
But I've been forgotten, I do. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? But I've been forgotten, I do. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
leading off the bottom of the seventh inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 14, Cody Orr.
Ryan Moore out for his seventh inning of work. This would be his longest outing of the season, and not too often we've seen a pitcher head into the seventh inning. Season here in the Carolina League, but he'll get a crack at the bottom of the Fayetteville order. Orr watches ball one miss outside. He scored the lone run in the fifth inning off of Moore after singling, stealing second, and coming in on a Tyler Whitaker RBI base hit. Fastball is inside.
Yeah, even though we've been playing faster ball games this year with the pitch clock, we have not seen starters go very deep in games still.
Pitch number 90 is hit on the ground, foul outside of third. So I wonder what the limit would be for Moore.
Well, he's a guy who pitched second most innings, in the Carolina League in April. He had 22 total innings. So right away out of spring training, Milwaukee said, we're going to let you carry some of these starts. He's got no fewer than five every single outing this year. As you mentioned, top of the inning, Colin, he's trying to record an out in the seventh for the first time this year. I imagine he's close to the end, though, with the bullpen active.
Or swings and misses for strike two. Way out in front of the breaking pitch. Moore looks to set him down, and he does. Dives that one down and away for strike three, and picks up back-to-back strikeouts dating back to last inning and his fifth overall.
These are the decisions that get tricky for a manager because you probably have a number, a pitch count in your head, but at the same time, here's your starter working into the seventh, and for the first time tonight, he struck out consecutive batters. You know that he doesn't want to leave that mound.
Victor Mascai started off with a strike. Grounded out and struck out, and here he is behind, nothing and two to Moore. Moore operating quickly, and Mascai is retired on three pitches. Ryan Moore, just a machine out there, carving through the Woodpeckers lineup, two away in the bottom of the seventh. To finish it off against the nine hitter Kennedy Corona, who is one for two, singled his first trip, stole second, but was stranded at third to end the third. Last time up, he grounded out to Moore. And here, Kennedy has started off with a fastball inside. Freight train rolling on behind us. And Corona out in front, chopper to third. Vargas fields it on a hop, long throw is in time. That is seven innings with one run allowed from Ryan Moore. What is his longest start of the season and probably one of the longest in the entire Carolina League. He has been sparkling. He's able to keep it a 1-1 contest as we head to the eighth from Fayetteville.
All right, we have Dwayne and Liana. They're students at East Smith High School. Give it up for the Golden Bulls. Yeah, okay, you guys ready? All right, you play softball? Yeah, okay. So we get them the attendance, and you guys can help them out, okay? Take a look at the screen, and you're going to let us know how many people are in attendance. I know, right? It's multiple choice. A, B, or C. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? They're going with B. What are you guys going with?
B.
You're going to go with B? Liana, B? Yeah, all right. We're going to go with B. Is B the magic letter? Yes! Give it up for Dwayne and Liana. Good job. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Fraylin Garcia. Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Mudcats, the designated hitter, number 30.
We head to the eighth, one apiece from Segra Stadium, and to take us home on play-by-play, the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Thanks, Colin. It is Franklin Garcia back out for a third inning of work. Boys, he looked good tonight out of the pen. Six straight retired out of the bullpen, three strikeouts, missing low on 94 to Oswald Leones, the eight hitter, lefty DH. Palma setting the target up and away, and Garcia out of the stretch, misses a little low. No, called a strike. Kind of missed his spot. Palma had to lower the glove, but a called strike anyways. All the velocity still there for Garcia, who's touched as high as 97, according to the left center field video board tonight. And now he throws his 1-1 pitch. It's foul tipped off Palma's mitt, and he gets ahead 1-2. Tonight's attendance at Segra Stadium, opener of this series, 2,171. Good Tuesday night crowd. A little bit of a chilly night, but fans sticking around. Baseball through Sunday. And then Woodpeckers hit the road for 2 weeks. 1-2 pitch, and a bouncing ball hits softly out towards first. It is Mascai fielding on the fringe of the grass, calling off his pitcher, taking it there himself. Seven in a row, set down by Franklin Garcia. It'll bring up the nine-hitter, Zach Robbie.
Can't say enough about both teams' pitching staff so far in this one. Obviously, Moore out there by himself. You saw him work in the home half of the seventh and look like he hasn't even broken a sweat. Same can be said for Franklin Garcia since entering the game. He has been automatic out there.
First pitch to Robbie. In there for a strike. 82-mile-per-hour slider. Spun in by Garcia. Now for Fayetteville, combo of two guys, Santos and Garcia, but a one-man band for the Mudcats. Ryan Moore, seven strong. Knight likely done, though. He's close to 100 pitches. Garcia skips one in front of the plate, and it goes to 1-1. That Carolina bullpen remains active here. A run on just three hits for the Carolina offense. All singles. Mendez, Chorio and Chirinos, and Robbie bounces one towards the middle. Molina shifting to his left, picks up behind the bag and delivers a pinpoint throw for out number two.
Yeah, I don't think we have a single extra base hit in this game. I don't believe the Woodpeckers have had extra base. I think all seven of their hits have been singles. So it's the other thing. This will be one of those games that really takes a toll on both teams' slugging percentage.
It's one of those games, though, too, with the unpredictability of baseball where a home run in the ninth inning for one side or the other might end up winning it in a game full of singles. It's now Edbert Perez from that left side, and he lines the first pitch out to right. Whitaker comes in but will give way, let that one fall. And Perez attacks the first one he sees for a two-out single, just the fourth hit today for the Mudcats, and it'll bring up Henry Mendez.
Ninth batter that Garcia had faced, trying to make it one time through the order without allowing a base runner, but that one from Perez didn't hit it all that well. It just kind of died in front of Whitaker, who looked like he had a good beat on it, but it just kept dropping and dropping, and he couldn't quite get there in time.
Mendez scoots out of the way of the first pitch, down and in towards his left foot. Lefty 1-for-3 today with a single and a pair of strikeouts, one against Santos, one against Fraylin. Mendez was the first batter Fraylin faced out of the bullpen. Third time through the order for Carolina, nobody reached base, but fourth time through, Hedbert Perez makes it to first. Here comes the 1-0 and a huge rip as Mendez yanks his head out of the zone and comes up empty for a 1-1 count.
It was only 89, but anything on that inside part of the plate almost feels like it's 10 miles an hour quicker when you're trying to get your hands around, and Mendez just kind of swinging wildly at that one. Comes up empty.
Infield shaded to pull, and he bounces it right into that shift. Victor Mascai stationed in front of the first base bag, gloves it at the chest, walks over to his left, and completes the scoreless. Whole lot of nothing for their offense since the fourth. We're tied 1-1 going to the bottom of the eighth. When we return, it'll be the top of the order. Whitaker, Cerny, and Molina on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Sweet at the ballpark. Stay tuned for Military Appreciation Night, Faith and Family Night, plus a Tumblr giveaway. Don't miss out on all the fun.
Life's like a road that you travel on. There's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door. We're losing.
just won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Fans, this Mudcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Mudcats, number 16, Christian Tripp. Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Whitaker.
It's the top of the Fayetteville order, fourth time through. Tyler Whitaker leading the bottom of the eighth inning in a 1-1 tied game, taking a first pitch strike from New Carolina right-hander Christian Tripp. Ryan Moore goes seven strong, gives up just the one earned run on six hits, a walk and five strikeouts for Moore. So he won't factor into the decision tonight. Tripp runs one inside. Chin level to Whitaker, 1-1. Whitaker has given Fayetteville their only run tonight, tied the game with an RBI single up the right field line in the fifth, scored Cody Orr from second, very high with a change, and it's 2-1. Christian Tripp, a returner from the 2021 Mudcat squad. He pitched in 10 games, made three starts for Carolina a season ago. 20 walks, 33 strikeouts. Whitaker gets into this one, sends it to right center, angling Mendez back towards the track. He turns his shoulders, moves to his right, kind of readjusted, and Whitaker flies out. Wind blowing in a little bit from right center, not a ton to where it would affect the baseball, but at least you can say for Tyler Whitaker is that he's putting the barrel on the baseball right now. Stung that line drive in the fifth, gave that one a good ride. You can tell some of the early work he's been putting in the cage is starting to turn the corner for him. And Cerny rips it one up high for strike one. Logan hitless tonight, 0-3. And chops this one over to Joe Thon in the third base coach's box for an 0-2 count. Best swing he put on a ball today was back in the first inning. Lined one sharply right to Chorio in straightaway center field. Struck out on a slider his last time and takes just off the outside. Close pitch, but ball one by Trey Jester, 1-2. Christian Tripp this season, 2-0 record, pitching in his 10th game out of the bullpen. Carries a 4.50 ERA into this one. And Cerny fouls straight. Does have a couple of saves and three opportunities, but right now Christian Tripp just trying to keep things even. Get it to his offense in the top of the ninth inning, which will have the meet of their order in the 3-4-5 coming up. Fayetteville's bullpen is active out there after three scoreless by Fraylin Garcia. Cerny got the bat on it but fouls it off. Count holds, 1-2. This season over 14 innings, Christian Tripp with 8 walks and 17 strikeouts. Allowed 7 earned runs and just 1 home run. Out of the stretch, another 1-2. Strikes out Logan Cerny, a slider biting to the outside. Cerny down on strikes for the second time. Fayetteville's really limited the strikeouts today, though. 2 by Cerny, but just a 5 by the rest of the team. A couple by Victor Miskai as well, but these middle hitters, Molina, Hamilton, Palma, none of them have gone down on strikes today. Molina's 0-3, trying to end the hitless evening. And he takes a fastball at 93 on that outer edge, strike one.
Yeah, even though just the one run so far, a lot better at-bats than we saw towards the end of that Charleston series.
This one is stung on the ground over to Garcia at short. He was playing deep. He picks up cleanly and fires on to first. Ending a 1-2-3, bottom of the eighth for Fayetteville. So this thing will be decided in the final frames. 1-1 tie as we go to the top of the ninth inning. And Fayetteville likely going to their bullpen. We'll tell you all about the new Fayetteville reliever on the other side of this break. Maybe not. Franklin Garcia going back out to the mound. Back in a moment on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
For the Woodpeckers, Fraylin Garcia. Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the Mudcats, the shortstop, number 13, Eduardo Garcia.
Fraylin Garcia keeps plugging along here in the top of the ninth inning. He's through three scoreless innings of relief behind Alex Santos and starts out the top of the ninth with a strike to Eduardo Garcia. Over those three innings, he's retired 9 of the 10 batters he's faced. All he's given up was a two-out single to Hedbert Perez in the eighth inning. One of the best outings so far of Fraylin's season. He goes to the breaking ball down in the dirt, gets Garcia over top. And it's a no-ball, two-strike count. Thought we might see the bullpen come out to start the ninth with a right-hander throwing that whole bottom eight, but they're sticking with Fraylin right now. All the velocity is still there for him. Pitch count manageable. This will be number 40 of his night, and it's stung on a line drive out to right, but foul. And it goes to 0 and keeps it at 0-2, rather, on Garcia. Hitless day for the Carolina shortstop. He's made some clean plays on the defensive end, but is 0-for-3 with a flyout to center. Swinging in the sixth. Here he comes with another 0-2, and it's bounced out to Cody Orr. Fills low over at third, takes a step, and delivers a firm toss across the diamond to Victor Mascai. Eduardo Garcia goes to 0-for-4, one away in the Carolina ninth inning, and Jackson Chorio, the cleanup hitter, steps in. Fayetteville, last win coming on Wednesday when Quincy Hamilton hit a big home run in the top of the eighth inning to win the game 3-2. And the late game script has often come down to Quincy this year. He's going to lead off the bottom of the ninth inning. First pitch is hit sharply over to Molina. He backhands deep in the hole at short and delivers right to the chest of Victor Mascai. A 6-3 put out, two quick outs. Raylan Garcia continuing to mow him down, and now Jefferson Kiro will step in.
It's been a busy day for both left sides of the infield. A ton of opportunities on both sides. Nice backhand from Molina. Oftentimes you find yourself in a bad situation when your backhanding ball hit right to you, but it was hit so hard that you didn't really have a choice and made it look easy.
Kiro spits on a low fastball. 95 still on the gun for Garcia. Yeah, Joey Loperfido's over there saying, when can I get involved? Only a couple balls have gone his way, and both of those were in the fifth inning. Otherwise, he's just been getting ready. Nothing coming his way. Pitch popped up and out of play, but any MLB player will tell you that even if you don't see a ground ball come your way for nine innings, you got to pay attention to each pitch and get ready to field each and every time that ball goes home. Here's the 1-1 home. And it's bounced towards the middle. Molina ranging to his left, fields on one hand behind the bag and moving towards first. Zips a throw over to end a 1-2-3 inning. Well, Fraylin Garcia keeps that left side of the infield happy. He gets three straight ground outs, is set down 12 of 13 out of the pen, and takes a 1-1 game into the bottom of the ninth inning. Don't go anywhere. Fayetteville trying to walk it off at home when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number 10, Quincy Hamilton.
Bottom of the ninth inning, we are tied up 1-1. Christian Tripp facing Quincy Hamilton. He checks his swing at the first pitch, and it hit him on the knob of the bat. That goes a foul ball on one that was probably inside out of the zone. But an 0-1 count on Quincy. Steps out, asks for a quick time, and adjusts the gloves. Fayetteville tied the game on a Tyler Whitaker RBI single in the fifth, but we've been deadlocked ever since. Here it comes, and Hamilton takes a breaking ball on that outside corner for strike two. It's the heart of the order to try and win this thing in the ninth. Hamilton, Palma, and Loperfido. All guys who have managed very high and outside. 1-2.
I feel like almost all four of Quincy's home runs have come in the last three innings of a game. And He's built for these moments.
Loves to go to right center here at Healy's. Here's the pitch, and he got the bat around that one, but chops it foul over off the facing of his own dugout, making sure everybody's still awake on a cool, crisp night. Clear night, though. 15 pitches for Christian Tripp since he came on in the eighth inning. Retired the Fayetteville side in order. The pitch home, very high again, outside as well. That one got away from him. Goes to 2-2. Ryan Moore, the Carolina starter, gave them seven. Quality start today, just one walk, five strikeouts. The 2-2 is hit over our heads in the booth and out of play. A combined 11 hits in this one. Four for Carolina, seven for Fayetteville. All 11 have been singles. We've not seen an extra base hit in this game, but as we mentioned earlier, maybe it's finally an extra base hit of some form that breaks through. The 2-2, and Hamilton punches it down the left field line, but foul. Back here at Segra tomorrow, 7:05 start time. For Fayetteville on the mound, it'll be the young 19-year-old Miguel Uyola. Another 2-2, and Hamilton pops this one up behind home plate. Kiro sheds the mask, the helmet, trying to find it, pressed up against the fencing. He corralled it, leaning into that net, and I don't believe the baseball hit the net at any point. Kiro used his weight to kind of fall into the net behind home. The ball popped out of his glove. It hit him in the shoulder, and then he was able to keep focus and pull it in. As long as the ball doesn't hit the net, ground rules call it fair play, and Quincy Hamilton fouls out for round number one.
That's a weird one. you know, you don't have a conventional backstop there, so there's not really a wall. So it's basically like a half a foot high wall, so you've got room to kind of bounce.
Miguel Palma takes slow. Yeah, testing the suspension a little bit there for Aquero. Human body flying into that net behind home. Usually it's only used to taking baseballs. And Palma sends this one a mile high on the infield. Playable for Chirinos walking up that first base line. Palma shoulders the first baseman and dives back into the bag. And Palma, he's been ejected from the game, I think, as well. Or has he been just ruled out?
I think he was just ruled out.
Palma dipped his shoulder into the first baseman. You could see it up the line. I hate to say it, but that was a little bit of a dirty play on Palma's part. He shoved, or he shouldered Chirinos, who was in the baseline. And then it kind of becomes a question of whether you could call runners interference there of any sort. But I don't believe Palma was ejected for that play. I think he was just ruled out because he shouldered away the first baseman. And so now Lo Perfetto swinging and fouling the first pitch up the first baseline. Well, deadlock game, 1-1. I guess Palma trying to do what he can to just get on base at that this stage.
I saw the replay, and he wasn't even in the way. He kind of just went out of his way to bump him.
Yeah. So pitch down to the dirt. And fortunately, Chirinos kind of kept a cool head after that.
Yeah.
He just got right back up and didn't try and instigate Palma after he went to the ground. Here's the 1-1 to Lo Perfetto, and he chops one into his own dugout. So strike away here from extra innings. Christian Tripp trying to get it there. Fayetteville has played a few extra inning ball games this year. Played a close game a week ago on Tuesday in Charleston that was scoreless until the bottom of the ninth inning. The 1-1. The 1-2, rather. And that's fisted foul left of our booth. Keep it where it is. Charleston broke through bottom nine, RBI single. Fayetteville either needs some base runners here, though, or one big swing by Lo Perfetto.
Just the one extra inning game here at Segra against Salem in the opening series.
Mm-hmm. Lo Perfetto takes a little bit inside.
Great thing for Carolina is with more going seven innings, you've got a lot of options to go to in the bullpen here in an extra inning situation.
2-2, in on the hands, hit softly the opposite way. Vargas backhands at third, will try and uncork a throw, nowhere near in time. And Joey Lo Perfetto goes against a shifted infield and just puts it in a tough spot for the third baseman. Vargas comes away with a two-out single, and Fayetteville gets that game-winning run on base. Sends the inning for Cody Orr.
That's a risk you run, Chappie, when you put the shift on a guy who can run. Obviously a big pull hitter, Lo Perfetto, but if he does get one down that third baseline, that's almost impossible to get him out on a slow roller. He was able to get in there easily. Here we go, winning run on base with two outs.
And Lo Perfetto's going to run on the first pitch. It's outside. Here comes the throw down, a one-hopper, the tag, not in time. Lo Perfetto gets that left foot in there. Fayetteville 4-for-4 in stolen base attempts. Lo Perfetto has swiped his second of the game, sixth bag of the season. And all the Woodpeckers need is something to the outfield, and they'll probably send Lo Perfetto regardless. The 1-0 home. And Orr foul tips it to the screen.
And the big thing with two outs, he's going on contact. So if Orr's able to drop one in, we're almost guaranteed minimum a play at the plate for Fayetteville. But his speed, anything in the outfield, you got a really good chance at winning this ballgame.
Yeah, and you test that arm, the accuracy. Make it a close play. Here's the 1-1, and it's up and outside. 2-1 on Orr.
Not to mention there's a great guy to have at the plate in Cody Orr, a guy who hits for average, and all you're looking for is something in the outfield. He's your guy to get it done.
Singled and scored the only run of the game Cody Orr did in the fifth inning when Tyler Whitaker drove him home. The 2-1 pitch, very high, 3-1. And right now, if you're Christian Tripp, Cody Orr, if you lose him here, you put him on first base. Joey Lo Perfetto is still the run that matters. Victor Miskai, lefty, waiting on deck. 3-1. And Orr cuts through a fastball. So he tested him. Went right down the middle of that zone. And fills the count up 3-2. Woodpeckers have not walked off a game yet this year. We're tied 1-1. 3-2, Loperfita will be on the move. Here comes the pitch, and a check swing. He went too far. Might have actually held up, but a called strike anyways on that outside corner. And Cody Orr strikes out to end the ninth. So we'll need extra baseball to decide it tonight in Fayetteville. 1-1, been deadlocked since the fifth. We go to the tenth on the other side of this break on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
She held him up and he held her for ransom in the heart.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 47, Jacob Coates.
I can't, I'll get there from here, baby. And I don't care where I'm going. Here's to your thin red line. Ooh, I'm stepping over.
But you never miss me till I got a fat city address. Non-stop talker.
Second base, number 25, Jefferson Piero. Leading off the top of the 10th inning, the first baseman, number 29, Jesus Chirinos.
We have reached the 10th inning. Extra baseball in our series opener between the Woodpeckers and the Mudcats. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey, thanks for hanging with us. I'd say late into the night, but this game is only about 2 hours old. Very brisk pace over the first nine innings, 1-1 tie. And Victor Miskai will lead off the bottom of the 10th, but here in the top of the 10th inning, it's Jesus Chirinos. He takes the first pitch from new righty Jacob Coates just off the outside for ball one. Coates comes in behind Fraylin Garcia, who gave Fayetteville four scoreless innings of relief from the 6th through the 9th. Coates finds the zone with 97, and it's 1-1. His numbers this year, 1-0 record, 1.80 ERA, pitching out of the pen for the 6th time. Big leg kick, the pitch home. Blitz is a fastball right by Chirinos. Swing and a miss, and it's now 1-2. 96 that time from the hard-throwing Jacob Coates. 10 innings of work this year for Jacob. He's only allowed two earned runs over that stretch. 9 walks and 11 strikeouts. Extra runner is Jefferson Kiro on second base, and Jacob Coates blows him away.
That's huge. Anytime with new extra inning rules, runner on second base, you get a strikeout immediately. Now you can just worry about on the infield going to first base. You let that runner get to third, so what? You have two outs, and you can just get the sure out to end the inning. Anytime you start out an extra inning with a strikeout, really increases your chances of winning.
96, fouls it into the screen. And it's 0-1. But yeah, ever since minor league baseball and even major league baseball have started to tinker with the ghost runner on second base, so much of your success with the new rules is dictated based on where you get that runner with one out in the inning. Can you get that runner to third either by a productive out, a bunt, a base hit? And can you give yourself two real chances in the inning to try and score the run? And then, of course, ideally, you're trying to get two runs home. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and it is low off the inside. Didn't miss by much. 98. Jacob Coates feeling loose out of the bullpen. He had plenty of time to get warm out there. We thought he might come out for the ninth, but they opted to give Fraylin Garcia a little bit more run. The pitch home inside nearly got him. And Vargas almost runs all the way back to his own dugout, bailing away from the fastball.
Hey, if that was me standing in there getting 96 up and in, I wouldn't have stopped running. I would have ran straight down back to the clubhouse.
I think your car is parked over the train tracks over there, right?
Exactly.
To the left side, just keep going to your car. Three balls and one strike as Vargas has gotten ahead. Man on second base, and he goes up high, fouls one back. All velocity right now from Jacob Coates, who stands 6'6 out there, 235-pounder. He turns 24 years old here pretty soon on June 4th. He'll be 24, originally from Schertz, Texas, and a product of Houston Baptist University. A three-ball, two-strike payoff is popped up, and off it goes into the night. Foul ball keeps it at 3-2.
He really does have all the tools to be an effective relief pitcher at no matter what level he peaks at. He's got that hard stuff, but just some really sharp breaking off speed that can really just frustrate you as a hitter.
Another payoff, and Vargas takes just off the outside. That one didn't miss by much. Miguel Palma, you can kind of tell by his reaction, popped out of the crouch there, put his hands on his hips, and for a moment he thought that might have been strike three. Might have been just a bit outside, and now John Kovalik is going to head to the mound. John, I haven't seen much of him today, and he's got to be pretty pleased with the work his staff has given him. Five strong by Alex Santos. Didn't allow an earned run, just a throwing error in the fourth that allowed the only Carolina Mudcats run to score in this scenario. So you're looking at a one ball game now at this point, if weren't for that a little error. But Santos was great, going a season-long five. No walks, five Ks. Fraylin Garcia, four scoreless. Fayetteville hadn't walked anybody until that pass right there to Jeremy Vargas.
Yeah, I mean, any time you have one walk over nine innings, it's really impressive. Obviously, you had the second one there, but it's an opportunity for Coach. You got to attack. 8 and 9 hitters do up there, might 0 for 6 in the game. Make them come to you and challenge them. You've got the heat to blow by them. See if they can catch up to it.
And you're working against the 8 and 9 hitters now for Carolina, who are combined 0 for 6. Oswald Leonis, designated hitter, takes a first pitch fastball away. Ball one. And he's grounded out three times tonight. Shortstop to second and to first. Comeback fastball at 97, and it's 1-1.
Good thing for Fayetteville. I don't want to look too far ahead, but you'll have Cody Orr at second base next inning. That's a lot of speed to be potentially the winning run or maybe even the tying run, depending on how this one shakes out.
Gusto picks up that leg and keeps tabs on the second base runner, Jefferson Kuro, the ghost runner. You like ghost runner or zombie runner better?
I think ghost. I don't really like either.
Here's the one ball, one strike pitch. And it's a fastball strike.
This is baseball, not a haunted house.
It's true. Yeah, I've heard zombie runner. I don't know where zombie runner came into play. I think I read an article that used zombie runner once. Free runner. 1-2. And he goes right back to the gas, 97 up and away. And right now, all laying down the pointer finger. One, heat. Bring it home and see if Carolina can touch it. Leonis chokes up on that bat, readies for the 2-2, and down swinging. Sent back to the dugout. He got all fastballs in 95. Packs him up for the second out. It'll bring up Zach Robbie, the nine hitter.
Great thing about that at bat is you got different types of fastballs. You saw the fastball up and in. There he drops it right down to the knees. And it's so tough when you're conditioned to get that fastball up in the zone. You get it low and you're almost like chopping down at it because your hands are so high. Excellent location by Coates and a big punch out.
First one home to Robbie is, how about that, an 83 mile per hour slider. And it missed a little high, one ball and no strikes. Fayetteville playing in an extra inning game for the third time this year. But they're 0 for 2 in extra inning games. Here's the pitch. And a swing and a miss on a high fastball. 1-1 now on Robbie. Played 13 innings, a franchise record on opening night, April 8th in Kannapolis. Lost late in that one. And then, as Colin mentioned, against the Salem Red Sox in extras in the first homestand of 2022. Misses in with 95, and it's two balls and a strike.
Robbie's had some clutch moments earlier this season. Just a week ago on May 4th, had a walk-off single. in a 3-for-4 performance against Augusta.
Even stance from that right side, digging all the way back in the box, down in the dirt, and Palma able to scoop it. Good block by the Fayetteville backstop. 3-1. One run, four hits, and an error for Carolina. Fayetteville's doubled them up in the hit column today. One run, eight hits, and an error. Carolina with runners in scoring position tonight, though, 0-for-6 as the 3-1 comes home, and it's lifted on a fly, playable right center field. Cerny and Whitaker meeting up in the alleyway, and it's Whitaker making the catch. So Fayetteville puts up the all-important zero and choose the walk, but strands two, and Fayetteville will have the game-winning runner Cody Orr on second base in the bottom of the 10th. Mascai, Corona, and Whitaker do up to try and win it. 1-1 as we go bottom 10 next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Mudcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Mudcats, number 11, Michele Vassalotti. Leading off the bottom of the 10th inning for the Woodpecker team, the first baseman, number 17, Victor Mascai.
A chance for Fayetteville to walk it off in the bottom of the 10th inning, tied up 1-1. Cody Orr starting the inning on second base, and right as the pitch comes home, time is called. And we'll reset before Victor Mascai sees the first offering from New Carolina right-hander. It is Michele Vassalotti coming in behind Christian Tripp. Tripp pitched a scoreless eighth and ninth to help force extras. 1-1 tie. Here's the pitch. And Mascai stays patient, takes strike one. Vassalotti tied for the league lead with four wins. He's 4-0 coming into tonight, pitching in his 10th game out of the Carolina pen. 2.40 record over 15 innings of work. Here's the 0-1, and Mascai punches it out of play. No balls and two strikes. A couple of save opportunities this year for Vassalotti. He's converted both of them, but right now he's just in the hold role, trying to preserve a 1-1 lead and get it to the 11th inning. A 1-1 tie game, rather. And a fastball on that outside edge just missed. 1-2, 15 innings, just one walk. He's a strike thrower. And 18 strikeouts, four earned runs allowed this year over his previous nine outings. The 1-2 to Victor Mascai is taken for strike three on the outside corner. A slider wraps around and gets Mascai looking for a second time. Tough night for Mascai, 0-for-4 with three Ks. One gone, and now it's Kennedy Corona's turn.
I feel like every pitcher that's come into this game for both teams has been able to get that big strikeout pitch when they've needed it the most. We saw in the top half of Coates getting a couple of huge strikeouts with the runner on second, and Vassalotti, great start here, freezing Mascai.
Kennedy Corona has the red light on the first pitch. Fastball in for a 1-0 count. Kennedy struck a barrel, the line drive out into shallow left. And is 1-for-3. Or stepping off a second. Here's the pitch, and Corona takes one on the inner half. Last season, Fayetteville found a number of different ways to walk off games here at Segres Stadium. 5 total walk-offs throughout 2021. Out of the stretch, Vasilotti delivers, and Corona drives it foul down the right field side onto the concourse for a 1-2 count, but walk-off box, walk-off ball 4, walk-off home run. Yuris Ramirez was the hero in a game against Kannapolis back in May. Or extending that lead. Here's the 1-2, and Corona pops this along the right field line, slicing towards the seats. Mendez over, but that lands in the netting. And we'll keep it where it is. 1-2 on Kennedy Corona. In fact, their final Saturday night ball game of 2021 was a walk-off win. Will Wagner had a soft single out to shallow right. That brought in a run. I believe Jordan Brewer walked off a game with a base hit to center. So Fayetteville hoping some of that 2021 magic can carry over here into 2022 in their third extra inning ball game of the season. And another two-strike pitch. Vasilotti went to the slider, missed down and outside, even at 2-2 on Corona.
I like that from a pitcher's perspective, going down and away 1-2. Yeah. I mean, righty against righty, that's a tough one to dive and try to flip down the right field line to win the ball game. Might as well, when you have that much favorability in the count against the number 9 hitter.
Vasilotti, a guy who's with Carolina all last year and is a veteran when it comes to innings in low A. The 2-2 is foul tipped. You can tell Kennedy Corona had to adjust last second to the breaking ball. Didn't keep the bat alive and keep it where it is.
I think another reason, Chappie, why getting that huge first out via the strikeout really gives the fielding team the advantage, because now you can afford to go after with chase pitches, and if you walk him, it still sets up the double play ball.
Right. Force it all bases. Try it again, a 2-2 after a long set. Vasilotti throws, misses very high. Fills it up, 3 balls and 2 strikes. Last season, though, Vasilotti, 68 and a third total innings. Gave up a lot of runs, though, 55 earned. He had a 7.24 ERA across the entire year. He's writing a different story this year, though, after that strong start over his first 15 innings. 3-2 payoff pitch, and Corona taps it at the plate, fights it off, and keeps the battle going. Right now on kind of a cool night. It's in the low 60s. Once you're on the mound, of course, adrenaline's pumping. You're not feeling the temperature, but still try and get as many pitches squeezed out of Vasilotti as you can. This will be number 9 to Kennedy Corona. We're still standing off of second in a 1-1 game, and the 3-2 locks up Corona. Breaking ball on the inside. Might have been looking velocity, but he's down looking. And now Fayetteville might need a base hit if they want to try and win this thing in 10. Tyler Whitaker coming up for the 5th time at the top of the order.
I mean, that's 3 straight massive strikeouts by Carolina pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Runner on second, winning run on second in the bottom of the 9th, 2 outs, and he's able to get Orr looking. And Miskai and Corona with runner at second looking here in the 10th inning. So clutch pitching from the Mudcats. So one more big out to get, and it's on a guy who's feeling a lot of confidence right now after busting out of a big-time slump earlier in the ballgame.
Tyler Whitaker doesn't want it to go 11. If it does, Carolina will have the top of their order scheduled. And the first one to Witt is a slider on the outside corner, just missed. Whitaker in a base hit up the right field line back in the 5th inning. And drove home Cody Orr, tied the game. Carolina got their only run in the 4th on a throwing error. The 1-0 pitch. Whitaker takes one right down the middle. Change up. And it's 1-1. Whitaker with a 1-for-4 night. Sent a high fly out to the warning track in right field back in the eighth inning. So he's been putting the barrel on the ball tonight. Here it comes. Very high. Gets to the backstop. Orr's going to third. And Kiro will wisely hold on to the baseball.
So now anything in the outfield that drops guarantees that the game's over. So you take away, you know, the chance of making a play at the plate. Huge 90 feet, potentially.
And a little bit of a malfunction out there on the mound for Vasilotti. It looked like he was tying something in the glove, and now he can't hold on to the baseball. He's dropped it a couple of times. See if Cody Orr tries to get pretty far off that third base bag, distract the right-hander a little bit. A two-ball, one-strike pitch. Here it comes, and Whitaker hits this one out to shallow right center. Robbie is waiting for it on the fringe of the grass, and he makes the catch. A pop-out ends the bottom of the 10th inning. We'll play 11. Cody Orr, the winning run, stranded 90 feet away. It's all knotted at 1-1. Has been since the 5th. We go to the 11th next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Jacob Coates. Leading off the top of the 11th inning for the Mudcats, the left fielder, number 2, Hedbert Perez.
Top of the 11th inning, Zach Robbie, the extra runner on second. It's the top of the Carolina order in a deadlocked 1-1 game. And to take you through this 11th, it is Colin Casey.
Thank you, Chappie. We'll see if a run can be scored here in extras. We haven't had any scoring since the bottom of the 5th when Fayetteville tied the game at 1 apiece. Hedbert Perez watches a strike. Perez, 1-for-4, singled his last time up back in the 8th as we got a... I think it says 1-0, so I think there might have been a pitch clock violation right before that one got in. I'm a little confused because I saw a strike signaled. So it's 1-0 and make it 2-0, and you wonder if Coates might be a little bit frustrated.
It's one of those things you have to quickly put out of mind. I feel like the first time you ever get called for a pitch clock violation, it's almost like an embarrassing thing you can get in your head. But I've seen guys shake it off.
High pop-up left side. This will clear the netting out of play. Perez had the green light, 2-0. Fayetteville looking to end a 4-game losing streak. Coates comes home. That fastball is over. Actually pulled the string on the changeup at 88. It's 2-2. Getting that all-important first out. Be huge if you can get it via the strikeout. Down and in, and it's full. And last time the Woodpeckers went to extra innings at home, it was against the Salem Red Sox in a Big grand slam from Nathan Hickey. Blew it wide open. Payoff pitch hit on the ground sharply to second. Low Perfetto backhands. Double clutches, throws to Mascai in time, but it's a productive first out as Zach Robbie moves from second to third, and he represents the go-ahead run with one down.
Yeah, so that's what both offenses weren't able to do in the 10th, is get that man to third with one out. Give yourself a couple chances to try and drive him in. But there's Joey Loperfido. Hey, he still is in this game. First time he's gotten some work really since the fifth inning. Anything's been hit his way. That shows, though, always got to be ready, even late in the night.
Woodpeckers infield in. The first pitch to Mendez is on the outside corner for a strike. Endry Mendez, 1-for-4, had a single way back in the first, but is struck out twice and grounded out to first in the following three at-bats. Coates gets the fastball over at 95. Still a handful of fans sticking around for the conclusion of this one on this Tuesday night in extras.
These are the ones calling that we call the Fayetteville faithful.
Yeah.
Tuesday night. Probably got to go to work tomorrow. We're in the 11th. Game's getting a little old. It's kind of cold outside. Not a lot of offense, but you're here at Segura Stadium. You're a member of the Fayetteville faithful.
1-2. Coates gets him looking. A big fastball from Jacob Coates and a massive out number two as the Woodpeckers infield backs back up. They're just looking to get the out at first and open up another opportunity to walk it off in the bottom half of the 11th. But it's a big out standing in the way in the form of Eduardo Garcia, who's 0-for-4 tonight, but is capable of coming through with a big hit. First pitch to Garcia, down and away. The runner at third, Coates still working from the stretch. Good pop on that one, but just below the knees, 2-0. A couple of games final. Salem with a 1-0 win over Delmarva. Much needed bounce back for the Red Sox, who have been sliding as of late. Way out in front, breaking ball fouled off, 2-1. Got another fun one right now. And down east, where the Wood Ducks clinging to a 7-6 lead. Actually, I think they just walked it off as there's a swing and a miss, and the count is now 2-2. Might have actually been a foul ball, but I believe down east just walked it off. So a fun one there. And a great night of action throughout the Carolina League. Augusta Green Jackets, 4-3 winners over the Columbia Fireflies. At home, Augusta has really been turning their season around. The 2-2 misses down low. 7-3 victory for Charlotte. Now 19-9 apiece.
Mm-hmm. Got a tie at the top. Best thing for Fayetteville is that those two sides split the series, so one team doesn't really run away with the division.
Full count offering. Lined into left field. That's a base hit. Eduardo Garcia coming up huge. With a full count, two outs, a runner at third. He drives home Robbie, and it's a 2-1 lead for Carolina, their first since the fourth inning.
Well, I think that was a changeup coming from Jacob Coates, a pitch he hasn't used a ton tonight. Video board had it at 87, and it definitely did not have the same zip on his normal fastball, so I think he tried to slow up a little bit, and he left it top of the zone, which is a mistake location. And Eduardo Garcia, who's been making nice plays on the infield all day long, now has a huge go-ahead hit.
22nd RBI of the season for Garcia. Came into tonight tied for fourth in the Carolina League. As a start and stop by Garcia over at first, but he stays put. Coates skips the fastball in there. So that means that Fayetteville will have to push home that extra runner at second at the very least. There's a line drive to dead center field. That one sends Cerny way back to the wall. It one hops up and off the wall. No, it actually hit the railing, and that's a huge break for the Woodpeckers, as that will send Garcia back to third base. The ball just cleared the yellow line on a hop. And so that will put runners at second and third with two away. But Fayetteville, very happy that ended up being a ground rule double.
Yeah, that is a huge break. Home field advantage helping save a run right there. And it just landed on the perfect spot right in the front of the warning track. So you had enough real estate for that thing to hop over the wall. And it almost looked like Logan Cerny was sprinting all the way back, kind of slowed up last second. Maybe didn't want to try and put in the runners coming home. If he had a judge on that ball, knowing that it would hop over the wall, considering the runner on first, maybe Cerny kind of planned for that to get over his head.
First pitch to Jefferson Caro. It's in for a strike, so another strong game here from Jackson Chirillo. He's now 2-for-5. There's a line drive into right center. Cerny dives, and he makes the catch. Logan Cerny saves two runs out in right center field with a phenomenal grab, and the inning is over. So Carolina able to get the ghost runner home, but an outstanding catch from Cerny might have just saved the ball game for Fayetteville. We head to the bottom of the 11th. We'll see if the Woodpeckers can keep this one alive here at Segra Stadium.
Second base for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Whitaker. Leading off the bottom of the 11th inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number one, Logan Cerny.
To the bottom of the 11th from Segra Stadium, a 2-1 lead for the Carolina Mudcats, and stepping in, Logan Cerny, the man who prevented two more runs from scoring just moments ago with a diving catch in center. Fitting, he gets a chance, and he flares this one out to left field. Coming in quickly, another dive, and another great catch. This one from Perez for Carolina. So how about Hedbert Perez returning the favor to Logan Cerny? Didn't get a great jump on that ball, but came in and made a fantastic grab to prevent the tying run from scoring. That kept Tyler Whitaker at second base and a huge out number one.
Man, well, just while this game was kind of stuck in the motions the last few innings, last three plays, that big RBI or the ground rule double, then the catch by Cerny, now Perez. This thing's generating some highlights.
Uppercut swing from Leo's Danny Molina. He fouls it off. Leo 0-for-4 with four groundouts, but he's got that home run power. Right now, though, a base hit could do the job with leadoff hitter Whitaker and his speed at second. And that one comes in and gets Molina on the forearm or the wrist perhaps, but he reacted quickly and made his way towards manager Joe Thon, the third base coach, and he's doubled over in some pain as training staff on out.
Yeah, Molina's hurt, and Eric Braun, the athletic trainer, is going to go out there and check up on Molina. That's his glove hand. Stop gets hit in the hand. You worry about not only can he swing with that, but how does it affect the fielding? And right now they're just hoping Molina can stay in this game. But, again, it's kind of a chilly night for May, and that one's going to sting a little bit extra. It sounded like it hit him right on the top of the hand, and he's removed that batting glove and unbuckled the guard and everything. But
I think they're going to take him out of this game.
He's going to the lineup card.
Yep. So you wonder who comes in to run, and actually we have our answer. It's Yeris Ramirez. So he starts jogging. He could be an important one. He represents the game-winning run. But, of course, first things first, with one away, and Tyler Whitaker at second. You got to get him in. And in steps, Quincy Hamilton. Quincy able to push his hit streak to 10 games back in the sixth with his lone hit of the contest. It was a single. Reached on a walk as well in the fourth, and that was bookended by a ground out and a pop out his last time up in the ninth. Hamilton looking for some more late game heroics. Pitch from Vasilotti. Big swing, fouled right back.
Keep going back to that Perez diving catch a moment ago, Colin, and there was so much risk involved in that play. If you miss that ball, Tyler Whitaker's probably scoring. Go ahead run instead of being on first like it is right now, is in scoring position with nobody out. So that'll be huge in hindsight if Carolina can hang on here. Quincy Hamilton, though, trying to write a different script.
The 0-1. Fastball right there, but Quincy lets it go for strike two. Four home runs on the season for Quincy, all of them coming in the sixth inning or later. A look at second, Whitaker with a moderate lead. Quincy stays alive.
Even a fair way to tie this thing and get it to the 12th, things are going to get interesting defensively. Yuri Ramirez is not a guy that plays short. He's now in Leo Stanley Molina's spot, so there would have to be all sorts of maneuvering around the diamond to fill that spot.
The 0-2. Breaking ball, and Hamilton comes up empty. What a massive pitch there from Vasilotti. Huge out number two.
Just worked everything away to Quincy off the plate. And then a backdoor breaking ball, which has been very effective against those left-handed hitters. He got Victor Mizquay looking with pretty much that same exact pitch back in the 10th. And now Hamilton goes down on it. Comes down to Palma.
Mikolaj Vasilotti, one out away from a league-best fifth win on the season as Palma fouls this one right back off the roof and back into the field of play. Palma, 1-for-4. The lone hit coming in the fourth inning. Woodpeckers staring at their fifth straight loss. It would be a season-long losing streak. The 0-1. That one misses down and inside. At the very least, if Palma's able to get on base, gives Joey Loperfido an opportunity, who's got a pair of hits in this one. The 1-1. Line drive into left, coming in, another slide, and that's the ball game. A couple of outstanding catches in left by Hedbert Perez seals it for Carolina as they take the series opener at Segra Stadium. 2-1, the final score in 11 innings.
Man, Fayetteville put some good swings on the ball there in the 11th inning, and then again, just Carolina defense kind of wins out. And if you go back to the course of this game, the plays that the infield was making for the Mudcats, then I guess it's kind of poetic that their outfield makes a couple of big catches to close this thing. A lot of fun highlights there in that. By the end of the night, it was going to be the outfield that kind of won things for the Mudcats, and tough break for Fayetteville. This is a game where you're coming off the skid in Charleston. You play Carolina really close. You'd hope to win a game like this, but the slow skid continues for Fayetteville. All you can hope, though, is that eventually they win one of these close games because they continue to keep it competitive.
We'll wrap things up when we come back on the post-game show from Segra Stadium. Once again, the final score, Carolina Mudcats 2, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers 1. Stay tuned for the post-game show right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Time to close the night with the Woodpeckers post-game show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome inside the broadcast booth for the final time tonight, and thanks for hanging while you're the Fayetteville faithful. You probably have work tomorrow, but you stuck around for 11 innings, and for that, we're very thankful. The Woodpeckers play a competitive ball game against the Carolina Mudcats, Colin. We previewed the pitching at the start of tonight's game, and that was one of the strong points in Charleston. It carried over into this series. Alex Santos, for the first time, going five complete innings in 2022, and it was just one unearned run on a throwing error that ultimately gave Carolina their only run over nine innings. And then it was good to see Tyler Whitaker get involved in the offense today. He delivers the game-tying single, and boy, that 11th inning was just back and forth, back and forth. Fayetteville caught a big break in the top of the 11th as that ball hopped over the wall, saved at least a run, and they're able to get out of the top of the 11th with just the one-run deficit, put some good swings on the ball, but Carolina's infield was consistent all night, and they made a couple of big plays in the outfield to lock this thing up. So I guess defense wins out for the Mudcats at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be one of the most insane defensive games I've seen from both teams. I mean, the big catch by Logan Cerny gave Fayetteville a chance going into the bottom of the 11th. I mean, that would have been two runs, probably would have been the ball game if that got by him, but he makes a catch, gives them a chance, and then back on the other side, just a couple of outstanding grabs by Perez in left field to end the game. Got to tip your cap here to Carolina coming up massive in that spot. Great pitching from both sides. Got a couple of great starts. Santos, as you mentioned. Fraylin Garcia, four shutout innings. Very impressive out of the pen. And Jacob Coates, I mean, he gets the loss, but the only run he gave up was an inherited runner at second base. He pretty much did his job for most of the game. A really strong performance from the mound. Just didn't work out in the end, but there's a lot of positives to take from this one. Still five more games in the series. And it was a fun one for sure, but a frustrating, a bitter taste in the Woodpecker's mouth after this one.
Yeah, if you came for the pitcher duel, the low-scoring game, extra innings, then perhaps you were pretty pleased with how tonight went. The Woodpeckers will hope to keep it competitive tomorrow in Game 2 of the series, even things up against the Mudcats, and they'll be using a duo of pitchers. It'll be Miguel Uyola on the mound, the young 19-year-old, to get things going, and then once his night wraps up, we'll see some of Brian Salgado on the mound as well. Israel Puello, Mudcats, 2-3 overall with a 9.53 ERA, and with the way things have been trending right now, Colin, I gotta imagine might see some more good pitching.
Yeah, all season long. That's just how it's been. Fayetteville's really, they've had great pitching all season long. It seems like they bring the best out of opposing pitching too. We saw some great starts from Charleston, the River Dogs. Their rotation was great. It was a 7-inning strong today. Mm-hmm. An outstanding one on the other side for Carolina. So, I mean, I feel like that's just how it's going to be all season long. We're going to see some strong pitching. We talked a lot about how hitter-friendly ballpark it's been for Segra. We haven't really seen it much this season. It's just been some strong pitching through and throughout. seems like these pitch clocks not affecting these pitchers. They've been in the zone every single time, and I'm excited to see what Ulloa can do tomorrow. He's going to get the start. We'll see what Salgado's done. He's done a really nice job over the last couple of appearances, so everything trending in the right direction, Fayetteville pitching-wise. They just need to get those big hits. They've kind of avoided the, haven't been able to get those big hits down the stretch in a lot of these games, but long season, they're certainly due to start getting some of those clutch, crucial hits to give them a couple of these close games and win some of these one-run ball games.
7:05 p.m. first pitch tomorrow from Segra Stadium. And again, you can find our broadcast MILB.TV or FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com if you're unable to make it out to Segra tomorrow. But bring the dog out if you are. Dollar Dog Wednesday, Dollar Hot Dogs, and you can bring the pup out so they have a good time. Tons of fun in store throughout the week as well. Thirsty Thursday, Fireworks Friday, Military Appreciation Night. We have a tumbler giveaway over the weekend, so make sure you follow Woodpeckers social media for all the updates on what's to come this week out at the ballpark. Thanks again so much for being with us tonight. Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey signing off from the booth, where tonight, 2-1, the final. Carolina takes it in 11. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Woodpeckers fans. Have a great rest of your Tuesday evening. Your life.